Hey, it's me, that guy from that thing you're about to hear. Thanks for listening to the Todd Bromelkamp Show podcast. And welcome back in at 4:02 on a Wednesday, the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, coming your way on 1600 AM, also on the FM dial at 106.3 in Iowa City, the South Gym, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids. Great show planned for you today. We will have an opportunity for you to take home tickets to see comedian, actor and writer Tom Segura as he brings the Take It Down tour to the Paramount Theater Saturday, July 27th. Tickets go on sale for that show this Friday at 10 a.m., but you can win them inside tonight's 6 o'clock showdown. We will have some of the Derek Foster and Tim Polasek audio from Iowa City that we didn't get to on yesterday's show, and a whole lot more coming up today. As it is an extremely busy day in the sports world, not just here in Eastern Iowa, as Hawkeye women's basketball fans await the fate of Megan Gustafson tonight in the WNBA draft, but we've got the postseason getting ready to get underway in the NHL, the Stanley Cup playoffs. So we'll check in with Greg Wyshynski of ESPN, and Colin Ward-Henninger of CBS Sports is with us coming up in about 20 minutes as we preview the NBA postseason. And there's a pretty big NBA story that we need to get to as well. I'm still not over Alex's absolutely scorching hot take, which he dropped yesterday on the program with regard to books and movies. We are going to revisit that here sometime within the first hour. Plus, we're going to get around to diving into the subject of our Emil's Hideaway poll question today at KGYMradio.com. Which team's fan base should be more concerned about its start to the season, the Cubs or the Red Sox? Both teams sitting with just 3 wins at the moment. The Cubs today making it official, putting John Lester on the injured list and bringing up left-handed reliever Tim Collins from AAA Iowa. Lots to get to. Lots to get to. But Alex, I kind of feel like we need to start with Magic Johnson today.
I think that's pretty important.
He just quit. Magic quit his job in tremendously awkward fashion. And if you've been listening to ESPN national programming today, you've heard this covered from pretty much any and every angle. But I can't ignore this. It's fantastic to me how this all went down. Nobody, Jeannie Buss, LeBron James, nobody had any indication that Magic was going to quit. And he just holds an impromptu press conference and says basically that he didn't have the balls to tell Jeannie Buss to her face, so he'd rather tell the media and have everybody find out that way. This is after a number of people questioned the hire in the first place. That just because, and again, put another log on the fire of just because you were a really good player, a great player, an all-time great player in the case of Magic Johnson, doesn't necessarily mean that that's going to translate to success in a front office role. Magic Johnson, apparently, if you believe what's been reported, didn't quite have a full grasp or understanding on the duties that he would need to perform as the president of basketball operations for the Lakers.
He was sort of a laissez-faire.
I think he kind of felt like president of basketball operations was going to be the same as a team ambassador.
Right.
You see teams do this all the time. The Cubs do it with Ryan Sandberg and
the Dodgers
Billy Williams.
Were doing it with him.
The Cardinals do it with some of their retired Hall of Famers. You know, if somebody's opening a new car lot or there's a new hardware store that's opening up and they send somebody to sign autographs and everything. Running an actual basketball team, it turns out, it's a little bit more difficult than that. And Magic wanted to go. He wanted to go to Dodgers games. He's a part owner there with the Dodgers. He wanted to go watch Michigan State in the Final Four, do all of the things that, you and me would like to do, except our jobs get in the way. And when you're rich and you're famous, I suppose it probably is even more of a burden because you don't really need the money from the job that you're doing.
But then why did he take it? That's what I don't understand in any of these situations. Is it boredom? Are you retired and you want something to do, so you want to jump back in the game any way possible? Because I ask him this question. I asked Phil Jackson this question. I asked Michael Jordan this question. Is there that itch to compete and show yourself that you are one of the smartest basketball people of all time? Because now this is three times in his career where Magic has jumped into something and quickly realized he wasn't very good at it. And then,
are you counting the talk show?
I am absolutely counting the talk show, the Magic Hour. I'm also
sometimes people get talk shows and then they realize how bad they are at doing it. And for some of us, there's no turning back. I got a mortgage to pay. You're stuck with me.
He's worth hundreds of millions of dollars.
What was that? It was the Magic Hour.
Yes, the Magic Hour.
Magic strikes me as a guy who would be fun to hang out with. I would like to sit and watch a basketball game with him. I'd like to hear his stories about Larry Bird and Michael Jordan and what I consider to be the heyday of the National Basketball Association. Magic basically helped create a gigantic mess and then decided to leave it for somebody else to clean up, right down to not wanting to fire Luke Walton. Didn't want to be the guy. And I'm sure a lot of us know this type of person, the guy who he can handle things when they're good, but when it comes to doing anything bad or where somebody could have negative feelings, you're going to let somebody else handle that. And that seems to be the case here with Magic. He was fine until things went south. And then what it reminds me of, quite frankly, and I just dealt with this the other night, is my son, who is into making huge messes. He made this gigantic catastrophe in the toy room about 30 seconds before his bedtime, and he knew that I didn't have the energy to make him clean up the mess, because it's much easier for me to just take him and put him into bed. Once he gets to that point, then no, you're just going to bed because it's easier for me because I'm tired of it. And that is sort of the approach that Magic Johnson appears to have taken to the Lakers here, in that he has made the giant mess. He's brought in LeBron James, who's basically undermined everything in that locker room and created a lot of ill will everywhere. They didn't win this year. And, okay.
He's made enemies throughout
the league. Daddy's going to clean up the mess, as opposed to Doug.
Well, he just seems like one of those guys.
Or Mommy in this case, since it's Jeannie Buss.
That he can get away with a lot of things because he's Magic. He's beloved by many. But when you're the general manager of a basketball team, when you're the coach of a basketball team, or when you're a talk show host, you're going to get negative reaction. It's not always going to be sunshine and unicorns. It's not always going to be, oh, this is Magic Johnson, he's beloved. How could you say a bad word about Magic Johnson? Well, when the rest of the league hates you based on your business dealings with the rest of the league, you've made enemies throughout the NBA. When you realize you're not very good and the Lakers, you're not very good at coaching and the Lakers are losing, it's not going to, that people are going to lose sight of that. It reminds me of exactly what's happening with Derek Jeter in Miami. Beloved by everyone. You couldn't say anything about Derek Jeter. You couldn't criticize Derek Jeter one bit or say anything that was even perceived as negative about him as a player.
Like he didn't have great range at shortstop.
Right, you couldn't say that.
All of a sudden, the Yankees fans would come out of the woodwork.
Exactly.
You know, he's not exactly... he's not exactly the human vacuum cleaner out there at shortstop. Well, what are you talking about? That's the captain.
And now, since he's in the front office and completely obliterating the Miami Marlins, everybody can talk crap about him. It's the same thing here.
I can't remember who it was on one of the ESPN programs today, but they made a really good point. Magic seemed to have dived into this without really knowing what the job entailed. And Magic has probably in his cell phone a literal who's who Rolodex of people that he very easily could have reached out to. Michael Jordan owns an NBA team. His rival and best friend, Larry Bird, was an executive in the front office of the Indiana Pacers for a really long time. Danny Ainge. The list is long of people who could have clued him into just exactly many of the things he was going to have to deal with here. And 9579 on the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line said, Magic simply didn't realize how cutthroat and fearless you sometimes have to be as the GM of any sports franchise, especially one with the history of the Los Angeles Lakers. He just didn't have the personality to pull off the moves it took for them to be relevant again. LeBron was going to come to L.A. regardless of who was running the show there because LeBron, for his brand, needed to be in Hollywood. He needed to be in L.A. So it's not like you can even give Magic a whole lot of credit for pulling that off. And then you bring in the superstar, and you can't figure out how to surround the superstar with the pieces to get. This is a team with LeBron James that couldn't win. They couldn't get over
other than his first couple of years.
They couldn't even get over the lowest of low bars.
LeBron James got to the NBA Finals with Anderson Varejão and Antoine Jameson and Mo Williams. This team can't get to the playoffs. And I get it's in the Western Conference.
Get the 8 seed. They couldn't even get to that point.
Now, to be fair, their season was completely derailed when he got hurt. But all of the, I think the big thing that we go back to is their pursuit of Anthony Davis at the trade deadline and how much that just decimated the locker room. And they could not recover from that. And you have a lot of young players. And Dell Demps and the rest of the league didn't want to deal with Magic Johnson because they thought that what he was doing, they thought he was tampering. They thought LeBron was tampering. They didn't want to do business with him. So Magic kept calling Dell Demps and upping the offer. Dell Demps, formerly of the New Orleans Pelicans, the general manager, wasn't responding. So all of these leaks to the media started coming out about, oh, well, they offered Kuzma, they offered Lonzo Ball, they offered Julius, they offered everybody. And from that point, that team could not recover. And so I think that was one of the biggest gaffes, and I think that was the end of whatever semblance of hope that this year's Los Angeles Lakers had.
Once you've lost the locker room, it's over for you. There's no coming back from it, and that's not just in the NBA. It's not just in the professional ranks. When a coach loses the locker room or when a front office executive loses the rank and file, the players, it's over. And we'll see what direction the Lakers go in, but I'm still struck by the fact that he resigned in the fashion that he did last night. I'm not paying any attention, and all of a sudden I got notifications blowing up on my phone and breaking news. Oh, he's out? Okay, he resigned. And then I find out how he did it, where he just says, yeah, I can't really do this because if I go in and I talk to Jeannie Buss, she's going to talk me out of doing this. She's going to cry and I'm going to cry and she's going to talk me out of doing it. Oh, okay.
That tells you everything you need to know about then, his chops to be a general manager, does it not?
Exactly. But now he's free. He gets to go hang out.
Yeah.
He gets to go hang out and watch the 21st century version of the 1927 New York Yankees, the team that he's a part owner of, although the Cardinals cooled them off the other night. The Dodgers look fantastic this year. I'm not sure, other than injuries, what could possibly slow them down at this point. But now he gets to go be Magic Johnson.
Right. And this is what he wanted in the first place, right?
That's what anybody in that position should want. I don't know why Michael Jordan wants to own an NBA team. I don't know why any of these guys continue to, like a John Elway. John
exactly.
Elway, who
Perfect.
Continues to fiddle up. I got to look for an F word that I can actually use, but Elway continues to make bad decisions running the Denver Broncos. Why don't these guys just, and I know a lot of it has to do with the competitiveness, and some of them just can't let it go, and since they can't play, they want to be in the front office. Why can't these guys just go be themselves? Because you can make a very lucrative career out of being Magic Johnson, John Elway, Michael Jordan.
I was in Denver in the early 2000s. We were taking a trip up to Boulder to go to a Buffs game, my dad's alma mater, and John Elway was everywhere. Car dealerships, spawn. He was on every single billboard. He was the Magic Johnson of Denver. And now all of a sudden, he's in a role where his decisions directly affect the outcome of the team, and he's not as popular anymore. Why would you want to do that to yourself, to do that to your legacy?
Tarnish your legacy.
But time and time again, there must be a reason because they keep doing it. Because people in that position keep doing it.
Kool-Aid says it seems like very few people around the organization understand what it takes to get back to the historic Lakers level, LeBron James included. I'm not going to get too much into LeBron here because that seems to be sort of the sidecar to this whole thing. But again, I think he was going to wind up there. I don't think he really cared about the team around him at that point. LeBron is ready for that next step in his superstardom. He's ready to be in Space Jam 2, and he's ready to have the entire LA Hollywood scene, and it's a lot easier to do that when you are playing in LA as opposed to being elsewhere and having to make your way to Los Angeles all the time. So this was an extension of his brand coming to LA. And I don't know whether you can give Magic Johnson a whole lot of credit for that, but you can certainly criticize him for not giving LeBron James the pieces around him to succeed.
This was something we noticed from the beginning, right? I know that people thought that the Lakers would still get to the playoffs because LeBron James was on their team, and until he got hurt, I think they were the fourth seed in the Western Conference, and then all hell broke loose, and they've fallen out of the playoff picture altogether. But from the beginning, when you started to see some of the pieces around LeBron that Magic was bringing in, did everybody not say, what in the hell is going on? Rajon Rondo, Lance Stevenson, the young players on their team, yes, they're still growing, Lonzo Ball, Kyle Kuzma, Brandon Ingram, Tyson Chandler. I didn't even know he was still in the league at the time. In fact, I don't think he was. So from the very beginning, I didn't understand the philosophy of what they put around him. In fact, it looked very similar to what the later years in Cleveland looked like, where they were just trying to scrap every fringe starter off the waiver wire, off of other teams to complete their team. And that's not what everyone was hoping LeBron would experience in his later years. He wanted to leave Cleveland to get more around him. He left Cleveland, and there's less around him.
3498 on the text line says, one word, ego. Yes, that is why a number of these guys do this. And apparently, I ventured into coon territory with my take on John Elway and his legacy being tarnished because 0914 says Elway as a GM has two Super Bowl appearances and a win. His legacy is not tarnished at all. He also has no clue what he's doing when it comes to quarterbacks.
So does Bill Polian. And guess what that common denominator between those two is? His name is Peyton Manning. What has been done in Denver without Peyton Manning?
Let's see, Trevor Siemian. Let's go over the
Paxton Lynch.
I left you the Memphis guy.
No,
I hope you understand.
Okay. I completely understand.
Gift wrapped that for you and put it under the tree.
Case Keenum.
As if it were December 24th. Look, I think the jury is still out there, but to say that Elway has been fantastic.
No, his drafts have been awful recently. The last couple drafts, they've gotten nothing out of it.
Matt, in Fairfax, Elway has blown 3 first-round picks on quarterbacks. He's awful. Is that take as awful as saying that there's never been a movie or there's never been a book better than the movie except for Friday Night Lights? And now Alex came into work today, and the very first thing that he said, I thought of another one. And I looked...
Oh, there are several.
What are you talking about?
Like the Jurassic Park series?
You know what he came at? I know we need to take a break here, Kyle. We'll get you a big board update coming up very soon. Alex came at me today with Harper Lee. He came at me spitting To Kill a Mockingbird.
Spitting that fire. That's what I was doing.
What was the first thing that you said to me? You walked in and you were like, okay, because I made fun of him pretty bad last night for what I thought was a really ill-informed hot take that there's never been a book better than the movie version of said book,
yeah,
with the exception of Friday
better.
Night Lights. And so the first thing he says to me is, To Kill a Mockingbird. Is this a holdover from 10th grade, 11th grade
exactly.
English?
Well, that was mostly where this take formed. And since then, mostly the books that I read are sports related, and some of them have movies. And maybe that's the reasoning behind this, but maybe it's just because I'm a visual person.
Someone is upset because 4767 on the text line is upset we're not giving John Elway credit for drafting Josie Jewell.
The last year's draft doesn't count. We got to give those guys more than 2 years, or more than 1 year, I should say. Now,
when we drafted a Hawkeye, we can't say anything negative about him. Okay. I see where this is going. The WNBA draft first round kicks off tonight at 6 o'clock. Megan Gustafson expected to be drafted. Where, oh, where could she go? Kyle will have information on that coming up on his first big board update. And when we return, CBS Sports' Colin Ward-Henninger will be with us, not only to discuss the Magic Johnson fallout, but the start of the NBA postseason, as well as saying goodbye to not one, but 2 NBA legends, Dwayne Wade and Dirk Nowitzki, both hanging it up. Back with more after this.
The Leaderboard is a brand new sports bar in North Liberty with a passion for golf. Tee up in one of their 5 PGA indoors golf simulators featuring over 40 different courses. Watch sports year-round on the Leaderboard's 24K TVs. Play mini golf, skee ball, darts, pool, pinball, and classic arcade games, and enjoy happy hour from 3 to 7 too. Set up your tee time by calling 319-289-0152. The Leaderboard, 680 Mead Drive, corner of West Penn and 965 in North Liberty, where your next shot is your best shot.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
Dutch Boy's new Platinum Plus paint with Stain Shield technology has the performance you expect from a luxury paint at a price you didn't. Platinum Plus is up to 50% more washable and stain resistant than a leading premium paint in satin sheen. Superiority ranges from 24 to 50% depending on sheen selected. Platinum Plus keeps your walls looking new longer. Menards and Dutch Boy paint have you covered. Go ahead, live your life.
Right now at Menards, get an 11% rebate on everything, including Dutch Boy paint.
Is there any more satisfying feeling than letting an elevator door close on somebody? I did it at the hotel earlier. I got such a warm rush through my body. It felt like the inside of my body hugged the outside of my body, you know? And then you see it close and you're like... Sometimes a second later it opens and you're like... Fuck!
From his Netflix specials, it's Tom Segura, The Take It Down Tour. Saturday, July 27th, Paramount Theater, Cedar Rapids. Tickets on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. at ParamountTheaterCR.com.
Look alive, coach. Are you ready for next season? If you're thinking about coaching K-12, school-sponsored athletics in Iowa, add getting your state certification from Kirkwood Continuing Education to your game plan. Kirkwood handles the required instruction and fingerprinting. Kirkwood Coaching Authorization and Recertification classes are going on now in Cedar Rapids and Iowa City. And now you can also take the classes online. Visit kirkwood.edu/coaching to get into the game.
Spring is a time for new beginnings and new ways to get smart rock and roll. Smart FM's got you covered with your favorite tunes spanning decades. Lacing up your running shoes? Tune to Smart FM. Getting ready to grill on the deck? Season your steak with Smart FM. Shining up those golf clubs in the garage? Keep your radio locked on Smart FM. Eastern Iowa's home for Smart Rock. 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
Final game of this series, final game of this road trip. Twins and the Mets one more time from Citi Field. Hi, this is Corey Provis, Jake Odorizzi for the Twins, and Noah Syndergaard throws for New York on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight, starting at 7 o'clock on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
And that's right, the North Gym, 107.5 FM, your home all summer long for Minnesota Twins baseball. Twins doing the impossible last night, getting to New York Mets ace Jacob DeGrom. We'll see if they can continue that success offensively today. La Tortuga, Willens Astudillo. I may break down. I may violate a cardinal rule of mine. No non-Cubs jerseys of active players. I may break down and get myself a Willens Astudillo. It's number 64. Is that the number that he wears with the Twins?
I like La Tortuga as much as anybody, but
chubby people. He represents my people,
but not Mike Trout or I don't know Nolan Arenado.
When those
Willens Astudillo is where you're drawing the line.
Yeah,
okay.
Because he's one of my people.
Bartolo Colon.
Bartolo Colon never really reached out and struck a chord with me the way that La Tortuga has. Speaking of reaching out, we've reached out and brought in Kyle to the studio. It's Big Board Update time, brought to you by our friends at Alexander Lumber. You can check out their temporary location in Iowa City. Keep them in mind for your next construction project, be it big or small. Alexander Lumber bringing you this Big Board Update.
The WNBA draft will take place tonight in New York City beginning at 6 o'clock and will reveal the fates of Iowa's Megan Gustafson and Iowa State's Bridget Carlton. Gustafson's likely to go in the late first round, while Carlton could go anywhere from the late first through to the third round. The Hawkeyes and Cyclones both had players selected in 2015, and that's happened several times before, but the schools have never had first round picks in the same draft. The Spring Hawk Talk that was announced along with the cancellation of the spring game was scheduled today for April 24th. The show will feature the return of the beloved Gary Dolphin chatting it up with Kirk Ferentz from the View Rooftop in Iowa City. The event is open to all fans, and you can submit questions for Coach Ferentz via social media or email. The Iowa baseball team has won 7 of its last 9 and will try to stay hot playing at Bradley tonight. Iowa won a previous meeting 4-2 in Iowa City with Trenton Wallace earning the victory on the mound, and he's back out there tonight for first pitch at 7 o'clock. Sad news this afternoon as Iowa made public the passing of City High graduate and Iowa football letterman from the early 80s, Dave Chambers. The Colonels dropped game 2 of a 4-game series against Kane County last night 4-1 and need to get to work tonight if they want to salvage a series split. Blaine Enloe's on the mound with first pitch set for 6:35. And the Twins scored 6 runs off Jacob DeGrom last night on the way to a 14-8 victory, and they'll try to do the same off Noah Syndergaard tonight, and we're going to join that game in progress after the show on 107.5 FM The North Gym.
Iowa State picked up a couple points in the Cyhawk series yesterday with a 2-0 win in softball over the Hawkeyes, so congratulations going on to Iowa State there. We will have a little bit of discussion about ESPN's announcement of an expanded rights deal with the Big 12 and what that could mean for Iowa State coming up before 7 o'clock tonight. Greg Wyshynski of ESPN will kick off the 5 o'clock hour. We will get you ready for that WNBA draft. Many outlets expecting Megan Gustafson to go at the number 12 pick to Seattle. We'll see whether that comes to fruition or not. I don't know about the pace of that draft. It will begin at 6 o'clock tonight, so we will be on the airwaves. If it's like any other draft over that final hour of the show tonight, maybe they'll make about 5 selections. I don't know, but perhaps the WNBA draft goes a little bit faster. Lisa Bluter and her crew, actually on Good Morning America today, hanging out in New York as part of the draft festivities along with Megan Gustafson. And I know Jan Jensen and the rest of the staff enjoyed their time with Robin Roberts today on Good Morning America. And good to see the Iowa women's basketball program getting more recognition in the wake of the fantastic season. 319-366-1600, the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line, very active today. Lots of people wanting to chime in on Magic Johnson and the Lakers situation, and what better segue to continue the NBA discussion but to bring in CBS Sports' Colin Ward-Henninger. He's been on the program with us a number of times in the past. And Colin, before we get into the final night of the regular season and the possible playoff scenarios and saying goodbye to a couple legends, Magic Johnson's abrupt departure from the Lakers last night has turned the NBA world upside down. What was your reaction when you found out that Magic was splitting?
I think it was the same as pretty much everyone else, just complete and utter shock. I mean, you know, you talk to all the insiders, everybody who's so locked in with that team, and nobody saw this coming. He just kind of walked over and started talking. It wasn't a planned press conference or anything like that, and suddenly he was out. So absolutely astonishing. We all kind of thought Luke Walton was going to be the one to go, and now it seems like maybe since Magic's gone, Luke might stick around, but the Lakers are just in a total state of flux right now, and I think everybody's heads are still kind of spinning after what happened last night.
We're seeing a lot of adjectives being used for Magic Johnson's time as the president of basketball operations with the Lakers. How would you describe it?
Tumultuous? Is that a good one?
Yes.
I think everything looked pretty good after his first summer. You know, he drafted Lonzo Ball, who's, you know, kind of polarizing, but I think everyone agrees he's a good NBA player. They snagged Kyle Kuzma, which was great. Josh Hart seems like a good young player. And it seems like everything kind of fell apart after they got LeBron, which is so odd because everybody expected that to be the move that got the Lakers back to contention. But they had these odd choices of getting the meme team together and not putting shooting around LeBron, which everybody could see it was going to be a bad idea, and then it turned out that it was. Obviously, the injuries were a problem, but then the Anthony Davis trade rumors and the way that Magic handled it, kind of essentially telling his young players to suck it up, this is a business, didn't seem to go over well. So I can see why he, you know, as he said in his press conference, he wasn't having fun because the Lakers weren't having fun, and it was a very disappointing season. So I think it's kind of good that he stepped aside. He didn't seem like the right man for the job, and there's no way they could have fired him. So in the end, I think this is probably a good thing for the Lakers.
You mentioned the Anthony Davis trade speculation. Was that the beginning of the end for this season? It just seemed like after they lost that locker room, there was no recovering.
Yeah, I think so. LeBron's injury had a lot to do with it in my mind, not necessarily because LeBron wasn't on the court, but just because they never got a chance to really mesh and gel as a team. They seemed to be playing pretty well before he got hurt. But obviously the trade rumors were the last straw, and Tyson Chandler just came out and pretty much admitted it today, saying that it really did affect those young players, that it wasn't just you know, the media speculating as a lot of people within the Lakers wanted to suggest, that anytime a young player goes through their first time being not wanted essentially, or being expendable, then it's going to affect them. And Tyson Chandler said that was pretty much the case with the Lakers this season.
So, Colin, what's next for the Lakers franchise? What direction do they head in?
Man, it's tough there. I mean, the good thing is Magic left them in a good spot financially. So they do have cap space. Now the question is, are they going to be able to get any of those top-tier free agents? Because if anything was clear after this past season, it's that those young players are not ready to be the supporting cast for LeBron James. So it's going to take them a few more years if they do want to be an NBA title contender. I mean, they didn't even make the playoffs this year. That's a huge jump. So they need to get somebody in place who is attractive to potential free agents and can kind of try to get them to ignore the fact that the Lakers haven't made the playoffs in a really long time. I mean, this isn't the premier destination that it used to be. So they need to go out and get somebody to play alongside LeBron James, but that's not going to be as easy as it used to be for the Lakers.
You mentioned all the circumstances surrounding this season, and LeBron is a guy who gets plenty of the blame, whether it's warranted or not. Does any of this fall on his shoulders?
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's pretty easy to see the writing on the wall that the whole Anthony Davis, Rich Paul trade demand was pretty much an orchestration to try to get Anthony Davis to the Lakers, which would have been fantastic for them, but it wasn't great for their young players, and it didn't end up working out. And it appears that it probably won't work out again this summer. I mean, there's always a chance, but now, particularly with the issues with Brandon Ingram and his blood clots, he was kind of the central piece in any trade they would be able to make. Now, you know, teams might be a little more hesitant to do that with his uncertain future. So LeBron's definitely behind it. I mean, everybody knew that this is what LeBron brings. He kind of pretended like he was going to take more of a back seat this season, and it's kind of a free year. But once they started losing to start the year, he kind of started stepping on the gas a little bit and putting his footprint on that franchise. And now that Magic's gone, he's kind of the guy that everyone's going to have to point to try to get this thing going, which is, you know, not really fair for a player, but it's what we've come to expect from LeBron James.
Colin Ward-Henninger with us of CBS Sports as we get ready for the NBA postseason to get underway tonight, the final night of the regular season. Pretty emotional night last night across the league as two longtime All-Stars bid adieu, Dwayne Wade and Dirk Nowitzki. Your thoughts on a league without either of these two guys in it? They've provided so many memories over the years.
Yeah, it's going to be strange. I mean, they're right in my age group as guys that I watched, you know, growing up, and seeing Dirk's spectacular run for that NBA title that was just, you know, pretty much completely unexpected, and beating that Miami team. He's just such a special player and revolutionized the position for a big guy to be able to shoot the way that he does and play a perimeter game like that. I mean, now you see it all the time, but back then it was really a novelty. And Wade, you can't say enough about the guy. I mean, not only did he lead that first Miami Heat championship without, you know, the big three, he also was willing to sacrifice, you know, his own stats and accolades in order to make that LeBron James, Chris Bosh team work and win a couple titles there. And the biggest thing you hear about Wade is that it's not necessarily his on-court stuff, even though that's great, but he's just a great guy off the floor with his contributions to charities and his impact in the Miami area and all that stuff. So, yeah, it's going to be weird next year seeing those two teams, particularly without their franchise guys.
Is Dirk one of those guys, and I know that he's thought of as an all-time great now, but 10, 20 years down the line, his legend is going to continue to grow, and people are going to appreciate just how much, like you said, he revolutionized the big shooter position?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I think that there's a lot of people who have come into the league in recent years when Dirk was kind of on the downside, and that they don't really know how good and how unstoppable this guy was with his one-footed fadeaways, being a 7-footer shooting from 3 feet above his head. I mean, he was absolutely unguardable. And another thing, our James Herbert, one of my colleagues, did a great oral history on Dirk and asked a ton of people about him. And some of the stories that you hear about Dirk are just amazing. Like his off the court sense of humor, very subtle, sarcastic guy, and all his teammates can't say enough about how much they enjoyed playing with him. So I think that's going to be part of his lasting legacy.
Colin, as we head into the final night of the regular season, there is a lot to be settled tonight as far as playoff positioning goes. Which storyline are you following closely?
Well, I think it's got to be the West, because you want to avoid the Warriors at all costs. So I'm not as concerned with the 6-7-8. You know, that is what it is. But I think that 2-3-4 with the Nuggets, Rockets, and Blazers, that there's all sorts of ways that things can go. I've got a little chart up. We have one up at CBSSports.com if you want to try to follow along with all the possible scenarios. But I think anybody who can avoid that 4 seed and be able to get in the number 2 or number 3 so they don't have to play the Warriors in the second round, that's really what I've got my eye on.
Have the Rockets righted the ship enough from earlier this season when Chris Paul is out, and though Chris Paul and James Harden have developed enough rapport on the court to create that interesting Western Conference like we saw last year?
Yeah, I mean, I think they have. It's certainly much miles ahead of where they were in the beginning of the season, and they deserve all the credit for that. Obviously, James Harden just putting on his, you know, Superman cape and basically saving that team season. But the credit goes to everybody. I mean, from Mike D'Antoni on down, and Chris Paul getting healthy and playing more like his old self. I don't think they're as good as last year, which is probably going to be disappointing come playoff time, because if they do meet the Warriors, which I expect that they will. I don't think that's going to be as close of a series, if only because I've been watching the Warriors for the last few weeks and going to their games and listening to them in press conference, and they are absolutely locked in. So Steph Curry did have a minor ankle twist in last night's game for whatever reason he was playing, and let's hope that doesn't affect anything. But if the Warriors go in at full strength, which it looks like they are, I think the Rockets are going to have a very difficult time coming as close as they did last season to beating them.
Is there a dark horse team that you think could open some eyes and maybe surprise observers in the playoffs?
Well, I think a team that we really kind of forget about is the Jazz. They had a great showing last year, and again, they had another very slow start to the season. So I think people kind of wrote them off a little bit, but here they are. They're a 50-win team. They're going to have that 5 seed against, you know, maybe the Trailblazers, maybe the Nuggets, whoever ends up in that 4 seed. But I think the Jazz have a really good shot in the first round. And if they can play the Warriors, they have a really good scheme and system to combat what the Warriors do in terms of their defense, their big man and Gobert, and the way that they kind of spread the floor and use their perimeter players. So I do think the Jazz could be a dark horse. I expect them to get out of the first round particularly. But again, playing against the Warriors, it's going to be tough.
Who do you like out of this Eastern Conference? You'd have figured the top four, it would be one of the top 4 seeds, Milwaukee, Toronto, Philadelphia, or Boston, but it seems fairly wide open.
Yeah, it's a crazy conference this year with just how top heavy it is. Obviously, the Pacers feeling, you know, that blow they were dealt with Oladipo's injury really took the wind out of their sails. Kudos to them for finishing the season strong and hanging on to that 5 seed. But between the Celtics, the 76ers, the Raptors, and Bucks, I mean, that's as strong as the Eastern Conference has been at the top for a long time. And if you look at the Bucks, their numbers are off the charts, their point differentials, their net ratings, everything like that points to them being like a historically good team. Their only problem is they don't have necessarily the deep playoff experience. They've been there a couple times. So I personally still think the Celtics are dangerous. I know there's been all sorts of issues with that team throughout the year, chemistry-wise, fit-wise, everything, but I think they're going in relatively healthy, and they do have the experience, so I wouldn't be surprised if the Celtics end up there at the end.
Colin Ward-Henninger of CBS Sports, we always appreciate it, and enjoy the final night of the regular season, and we'll see what the playoffs bring us.
All right, I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
And there is a lot of business yet to be determined as far as the seedings go. As Colin mentioned, only one matchup locked in in the East. That's Boston and the Pacers. Everything else, lots of moving parts as we head into the final night. Dwayne Wade and the Heat eliminated last night after Detroit came back from 19 down to win. So pretty emotional. I don't know if you saw the video of Dirk Nowitzki pulling into the arena for the final time, but getting out and having pretty much every hot dog wrapper and usher and person who worked in the arena there giving him a high five as he made his way into the locker room. And then a tremendous tribute video to Dwayne Wade that's circulating around the internet that I'm sure a lot of people have caught wind of on social media. Those are two guys that have meant a lot to their teams, Dirk especially in Dallas, and Dwayne Wade has played for a couple of teams, but I think you're always going to think of him and the Miami Heat when he comes to mind. And we'll see. We go from the NBA to the NHL, the Stanley Cup playoffs getting ready to get underway. Greg Wyshynski of ESPN will be with us coming up in about 20 minutes, so don't go anywhere. We'll check in with a longtime friend of the program and give you an update from New York City on the WNBA draft, as well as Megan Gustafson has hit the red carpet preparing for perhaps the biggest moment of her basketball career, expecting to hear her name called at some point tonight during the first round. Football audio from yesterday's Iowa media availability, the 6 o'clock showdown, all coming up inside the 6 o'clock hour. But when we return, we revisit a subject so controversial from yesterday's program that we had to simply drop it and move on. Back with more after this.
If we build it, they will come.
You don't always notice the things that need to be remodeled or repaired at your business, but your customers do. Keep everything welcoming and looking sharp with Jackson Remodeling and Repair. Whatever your business needs, design, remodeling, repair, they'll take care of it. The owners at Jackson Remodeling and Repair personally visit each job site to make sure things are staying on schedule and meeting your expectations.
Go the distance.
Call them for a quote. Jackson Remodeling and Repair, 319-214-6943.
20 professionals speaking 9 different languages, serving over 7,000 clients worldwide. That's Community CPA, a global firm located in Coralville and Des Moines. As trusted advisors in tax and accounting, they make even the most foreign and complicated tax matters simple. Trust them with your personal and corporate extension tax filings. They provide tax returns that are audit-proofed with their value-added data match service. Call Community CPA in Coralville now, 319-208-3712, to improve the quality of your tax preparation. Community CPA.
Guys, the secret is out. If you want healthy sex, your body needs nitric oxide. And now you can boost your nitric oxide production faster than you thought possible with Ageless Male Tonight, the absurdly fast formula from the number one brand in male enhancement. Just take one capsule an hour before romantic activity. You'll get clinically tested ingredients that rapidly boost nitric oxide production. And it won't go unnoticed. Rush to Walmart and get Ageless Male Tonight.
Here's Tony Romo for Skechers Slip-On Footwear.
I like to make my life easy. I got a car that can drive itself, a robot that vacuums my whole house.
Carpet has been cleaned.
And Skechers Slip-Ons. They don't have laces, so I can just slip them on and off with ease. And they take comfort to another level. They're flexible, breathable, and have Skechers air-cooled memory foam. Plus, they come in a wide variety of current styles. Skechers Slip-Ons. You'll never want to wear anything else.
Try Skechers Slip-Ons with air-cooled memory foam today. Skechers. Comfort included.
100 years of hard work can take you far, and no one knows that better than Goodyear. In 1918, we started the Akron Wingfoots basketball team, laced up, and took to the court. And we've been outperforming the rest ever since. Goodyear proudly celebrates our 100th anniversary in basketball and our relentless dedication to being unstoppable. Goodyear, more driven.
Hi. My name's Ken, and I own Good Start Packaging in Bedford, New Hampshire. With my Spark Cash Card from Capital One, I earn unlimited 2% cash back on all my business purchases. And last year, that added up to $36,000 in cash back. That's right, $36,000. Thanks to that, I was able to offer healthcare to my employees. The Spark Cash Card did a lot for my business. Imagine what it could do for yours. What's in your wallet?
Real Capital One customers paid for real stories. Credit approval required.
What's the worst take you have ever heard anyone give in your life? 319-366-1600. You can use the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line to reach out to us. Alex left me almost speechless yesterday on the program when he hit me with the following. There has never been a book better than the movie version of said book, with the exception of Friday Night Lights. And now apparently he has issued a semi-retraction on that, because he came in today with a short list, including To Kill a Mockingbird.
Oh, no. Those are movies that are better than the book still. I just had to come up with more examples.
I always knew you were a huge Gregory Peck fan. I always
Cinderella Man, Moneyball. Brad Pitt makes everything better, Todd.
Moneyball, I got to admit, Michael Lewis is a good author, but I was not a huge fan of the book necessarily. The movie was okay. There were some parts of it where but I'll sign up for anything with Philip Seymour Hoffman in it. That's fine. 319-366-1600.
Jonah Hill as well. That's
talking bad takes. I can't believe you said that.
I have another one for you today.
Oh,
boy. You ready for this one?
Okay.
Beer is not refreshing. I've never been in any situation where I'm like, oh man, I need something to refresh me. I need to feel reinvigorated. Somebody get me a beer. It's never happened.
I can sort of understand where you're coming with that one.
That's like somebody giving me an excuse as to why they want to drink a beer. It's not actually refreshing. It's just they want to drink a beer.
Okay. I kind of like Hot Take Alex. I think Hot Take Alex could become a character on the program.
That works
not
for
that,
me.
Not that you want to be known as a hot take artist. I don't know. Maybe you do. Maybe you do. I don't know. Over there with your Blues sweater on. I got nothing. I should have worn my Blackhawks sweater today, celebrating that number three draw last night.
You know, how did that happen?
Conspiracy theorists.
I know. They're out there.
They're out there, I'm sure.
They're wearing these jerseys that I'm wearing, too.
The poor, poor, poor fans of the Avalanche, who had the best odds at winning the NHL draft lottery last night, and the Avs instead will be picking fourth because three teams' ship came in, including David Putty's New Jersey Devils, who will hold the number one overall pick. They had the third best odds. Then the New York Rangers and the Chicago Blackhawks, who had the 12th best odds last night. They get now, the thing here is, if you're going to go all conspiracy theory on the NHL and, oh, they're stacking the deck for the Blackhawks, this is like a two-player draft. Is it not?
It is. It's mostly a one-player draft.
You want to have the top two picks. If you've got the third pick, which the Blackhawks do, it's nice, but this is a one or two player draft, depending. We'll chat a little bit about that with Greg Wyshynski, but the focus of the segment coming up with him will be primarily on the beginning of the Stanley Cup playoffs. This is fascinating to me because we've got about 2 minutes here before we have to split for the final time here in hour number one. ESPN cannot get out of its own way with Megan Gustafson. A while back, and this is ESPN's Player of the Year in women's basketball. Yes, people say ESPNW, but it's all ESPN to me. They referred to her as Mary Gustafson a while back, which certainly raised the ire of Iowa fans everywhere because this is a fantastic player, the best women's basketball player that the University of Iowa will ever see. And, okay, typo, embarrassing for ESPN. This is the same organization that leaked the women's NCAA tournament bracket, thus blowing up the selection show and the celebrations that all of the women's teams across the country had planned. Well, on their WNBA draft information today, on the player profile for Megan Gustafson, and they do have her first name correct, they have her listed as playing at Iowa State. This would be a problem for the WNBA if they had anybody else that was interested in being their media partner. But they need the exposure, so they gladly hop into bed with ESPN, and ESPN is just like, whatever.
Is Tommy Tuberville an analyst on tonight's WNBA draft?
He's running for the Senate,
I believe.
He's a little too busy. Maybe they can get Magic. Magic can do commentary on the WNBA draft tonight. We will step aside and it's Megan Gustafson of the University of Iowa. It's really not that hard. Back with more after this.
It's time for some straight talk. Picture this. Your favorite team is playing. You're streaming the game. 10 seconds left. Your team shoots. Oops. Your data runs out.
Look, don't let that happen. Switch to Straight Talk Wireless and get 25 gigs of high-speed data, all on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks.
Join Team Straight Talk and get unlimited talk and text plus 25 gigs of high-speed data for just $45 a month.
Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart.
First 25 gigs at high speed, then 2G. See terms at straighttalk.com.
Introducing the new $5 Biggie Bag from Wendy's. It comes with a new bacon double stack made with a quarter pound of fresh, never frozen beef and topped with crispy applewood smoked bacon. Plus four nuggets, fries, and a drink all for just $5. That's right, just $5. The new $5 Biggie Bag from Wendy's is everything you could ever want. Well, at least for lunch. Try Wendy's new $5 Biggie Bag today. Biggie Bag includes four-piece nuggets, small fries, and a small drink. Fresh beef available in the contiguous U.S., Alaska, and Canada. Approximate weight before cooking. Price and participation may vary in Alaska and Hawaii.
Oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with Castrol Edge Full Synthetic Motor Oil. Right now at O'Reilly Auto Parts, get 5 quarts and a Wix filter for $33.99. Plus get a $15 gift card and 150 O-Rewards points. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hi,
My name's Ken, and I own Good Start Packaging in Bedford, New Hampshire. With my Spark Cash Card from Capital One, I earn unlimited 2% cash back on all my business purchases. And last year, that added up to $36,000 in cash back. That's right, $36,000. Thanks to that, I was able to offer healthcare to my employees. The Spark Cash Card did a lot for my business. Imagine what it could do for yours. What's in your wallet?
Real Capital One customers pay for real stories. Credit approval required.
4:56, the Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming your way on a Wednesday edition of the program. Coming up inside the 5 o'clock hour, we'll have another big board update brought to you by Alexander Lumber. Kyle will fill you in on how the Iowa baseball team's doing at Bradley tonight. Speaking of baseball, you and I were buzzing in the office earlier today. Did I say baseball and you and I in this? I'm sorry if I ripped a scab off for any Panther fans out there who are listening. You and I were certainly caught off guard today by the announcement that there was going to be a 3 o'clock news conference in St. Louis, and that traditionally leads to discussion of somebody getting an extension. And in this particular case, you and I were both surprised to see that it's Matt Carpenter. Lots of extensions going out to young, controllable players.
I thought it was going to be Harrison Bader.
There was speculation that it was Bader. A couple of the beat writers said Jack Flaherty, but he's starting the game today, and they traditionally don't like to take a starter out of his pregame routine and give him an additional distraction. Bader would have made sense. Matt Carpenter, whose deal was set to expire at the end of the year, gets two additional years and an option for a third one, but he has to basically appear in 1,100 plate appearances or at-bats. I got to get the language down on that. I think it was plate appearances, but if it's at-bats, that's even more difficult because that doesn't factor walks in. Were you surprised to see St. Louis go this route? It's a $39 million combined over the next two seasons and an $18.5 million option that kicks in for 2022 if he gets, and it is 1,100 plate appearances, not at-bats.
Seems like a pretty team-friendly deal for the next couple seasons. Yes, it's a lot of average annual value, but I think that they believe that they have their guys in place, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens with some of these other young players on that roster. And the two that you just brought up, Bader and Jack Flaherty, how soon are they going to jump on those contracts and extend those guys out? But not all that surprised with what the contract was structured as.
Meanwhile, the Cubs today putting John Lester on the injured list and calling up lefty reliever Tim Collins from Iowa. It does appear that Tyler Chatwood will take Lester's turn in the rotation when it is eventually needed. They're going to try to get by with a four-man rotation for a while, and that'll do it for hour number one of the program. When we return, Greg Wyshynski of ESPN.com joins us.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown. It's Masters Week at Augusta National. The first round is tomorrow. Live coverage starts at 3 p.m. Eastern on ESPN and the ESPN app. Today, England's Matt Wallace wins the par 3 contest, beating Sandy Lyle in a playoff. ESPN's Adam Schefter reports the Giants will re-sign wideout Sterling Shepard to a four-year, $41 million contract. The Patriots signed free agent tight end Austin Seferian Jenkins to a one-year deal. He played last year for the Jaguars. Magic Johnson tweeted thank yous to the Lakers today, saying he'll be a Laker for life. Johnson resigned from his job as president of the team. Former NBA coach and executive Stan Van Gundy says Johnson didn't like the unpleasant parts of the job.
He didn't want to be in positions of conflict. That's one of the things I heard him talking about, and there's no way to avoid that if you're going to be in his position as president of the Lakers.
Stan Van Gundy on the Dan Le Batard Show. Today is the last day of the NBA regular season. The Pistons and Hornets will battle for the last playoff spot.
Coming up Wednesday, your last chance to come with us to the NFL Draft with full VIP access. Plus, meet us, the First Take crew, and more. Again, your last chance is Wednesday, only on Golic and Wingo, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN2.
Welcome to Spain and Fitz. Who will change the future of your team?
So are you ready for the draft? Let's get started.
The NFL Draft. Round one is Thursday, April 25th on ESPN Radio, ESPN, and on ABC.
Welcome back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on 1600 AM as well as our FM frequencies, 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, and 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City. Coming up tomorrow, we're going to be back at Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. It's a KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. Stop on in from 4 until 7. You can get there early. Happy hour starts at 3. And then at 6 o'clock, it's half-price wings until closing time. So we'll have a great show for you and look forward to seeing you out there. Stay tuned. Coming up in the third and final hour of the program tonight, your opportunity to win tickets to see Tom Segura. He's coming to the Paramount Theater later on this year, late July. Tickets for that event go on sale Friday at 10 a.m. You can win them right here with us before you can buy them. Later on in the program today, we're going to get to the discussion of the poll question at KGYMradio.com. Which fan base, the Cubs or the Red Sox, should be more concerned about their troubling start? But as baseball gets underway, it's usually a good indicator that the NBA and the NHL are winding down, at least their regular seasons. The Stanley Cup playoffs begin tonight, and joining us to preview them, Greg Wyshynski of ESPN. And before we get into the playoff picture, Greg, I want your thoughts on the results of the lottery last night. There are a lot of people scratching their heads seeing the first three teams atop the draft board.
Well, as a Devils fan, I was happy.
I forgot that you are a Devils fan, aren't you?
Yeah, no, it was an interesting one. But, of course, the curse of being a Devils fan is that you are perpetually living in fear that the Rangers are going to get one over on you. So, of course, this will be a situation where the number two pick ends up being better than the number one pick, because that's just how it would work out. But, it's an interesting one. I mean, it's not every year that three teams make such dramatic moves up the draft board. And keep in mind, the way the NHL does it, they hold a separate lottery for the first, second, and third picks, which is a different sort of format than other leagues. So, it's always possible that this can happen. So I imagine the Blackhawks moving up from, I think it was 12 all the way to 3, will get the usual conversations about whether this is the right format or not going again. You got to figure out what you want with this draft lottery. Do you want it to be anti-tanking? Then I think it does its job. If you want it to be help out the worst teams at all times, maybe it needs some tweaking, because clearly the Blackhawks were not one of the three teams most in need, I think, in this draft year.
We've seen so many of these franchise-changing players being drafted the last 5 or so years, and those top three picks. Is Jack Hughes one of those guys that the Devils are going to be getting in this year's draft?
He has the potential. I think the year that's comparable to this year might be the year where Tyler Seguin and Taylor Hall went 1 and 2, not respectively. Hall went first, because Hughes and Kaapo Kakko, this Finnish player, are both really, really good. So the Devils and Rangers did pretty well for themselves here. The question about Hughes is that he's a bit undersized. He talked last night on the air about needing to gain some strength and gain some size. He's not necessarily the dimensions of a typical NHL center, although in 2019, a smaller man's league this is. So the question is his ultimate fate in the National Hockey League as a center, which would certainly help the Devils now that giving them Jack Hughes and Nico Hischier for the next like 12 years, or is he going to project, as many scouts believe he could be, as like the next Patrick Kane, a dynamic, slightly smaller winger with incredible offensive skills? It remains to be seen where he ends up, but I think the Devils should be confident they're going to get a special player.
Before we get into the Stanley Cup playoffs, what were your thoughts on Joel Quenneville landing with the Panthers?
Well, we had Quenneville on our podcast, ESPN on Ice, this week. If you want to go to iTunes and check it out, it was an interesting conversation, because he apparently sees a lot of parallels between this Panthers team and the Blackhawks team that he took over in 2008. It's almost a situation where you can draw a few. I mean, they have a player like Jonathan Toews in Alexander Barkov, a really good offensive player with great defensive skills. They've got dynamic scorers up front like Jonathan Huberto and Vince Trocheck. That could be sort of like a Patrick Kane and Patrick Sharp. They've got Aaron Ekblad in the back that could sort of maybe track to be a Duncan Keith one day. There's a lot of sort of parallels personnel-wise to the Blackhawks team that he took over. But the biggest thing overall is that they are, like the Blackhawks were, a team that just doesn't know how to win yet. And having Joel Quenneville down there is going to do leaps and bounds for their confidence. It's going to be a guy that can figure out how to get those extra points, get them into the postseason. And maybe more than anything else, and he kind of danced around this question when we asked him, maybe he's the guy that helps them land Artemi Panarin, the big unrestricted free agent this summer who played for Quenneville in Chicago, along with potentially goalie Sergei Bobrovsky, who is also expected to leave the Columbus Blue Jackets. Both those guys and Quenneville ending up in Florida would give this franchise the biggest win it's ever had in its history.
Greg, let's get into the matchups. We'll start with the Blues and the Jets. Full disclosure, I have my Alex Pietrangelo sweater on right now. But the Blues, this matchup for them, the Jets have been such a thorn in their side the past 3 years. They're so big and skilled. And I was at the game earlier this year where Patrick Laine scored 5 goals. But the Jets have sort of backslid into the playoffs. My question is, were they coasting? And can they flip a switch now going into the playoffs?
It wasn't so much that they were coasting. They were definitely struggling. The question is, you know, if them getting back Dustin Byfuglien and Josh Morrissey, the two defensemen they had been missing for a while, assuming that they both can come back and play, healthy hockey, the question is whether or not that's going to fix the myriad of problems they had systematically in the last month and a half. The Jets are probably the greatest example of a team that people are looking at and in some cases picking to come out of the West with the hope that this truly is the second season, that this truly is a place where you hit the reset button and start fresh, because they were playing some horrible hockey down the stretch. I think 4 out of their last 9 games, they've given up 5 or more goals. So the Blues are catching them in theory at a time where they're not playing great. And I'm picking the Blues in this series. I think I'm picking them in either 6 or 7. I can't remember, but I am a believer in Jordan Binnington, their rookie goalie. I think that this kid is made of the stern stuff that you need to walk into Winnipeg in your first start ever against the Jets and potentially take a game 1 tonight. So I'm gonna say that the Blues, who have been so good since January under Craig Berube, their interim coach, and Binnington, their rookie goalie, are going to continue that and really go on a bit of a run here in this postseason, beginning with the elimination of the Winnipeg Jets.
Is the key for St. Louis, and I'm probably oversimplifying here, but basically not playing from behind all that often, especially in the first 2 periods?
Yeah, they don't have the same offensive weaponry as the Winnipeg Jets have. And I think in some cases, when you say don't play from behind, you're talking about scoring goals. I think in the Blues case, I think it's playing them even as possible until you can get a couple on the board. And one of the advantages I think that the Blues have this season that they've not had in season past is Ryan O'Reilly. And, he's their top center. When he is on the ice, his line dominates. And so the strength versus strength potential of a Ryan O'Reilly line up against Mark Scheifele and Blake Wheeler's line on Winnipeg is something to really watch in this series. And then, like you mentioned, line A is the wild card. If you play those two top lines to a standstill, you still have to contend with line A. He's been invisible for the last 2 months. But as you mentioned before, 2 good weeks from Patrick Laine, and this series is in Winnipeg's win column because he can really crank it if things are going well.
I know you mentioned Jordan Binnington and your reasoning why the Blues are going to win this series, but it just for that franchise, they've dabbled with Jake Allen and Brian Elliott going into playoffs, Ryan Miller, they've tried. None of those guys have worked, and it just seems like they haven't had that solid goaltender in a playoff series. How much does having a guy like Binnington, who's playing as well as anybody in the NHL, factor into your reasoning?
It is the reasoning. I mean, I'm all in on this kid, and I call him a kid. He's 25. His numbers on the road are great. I think he has like a .933 save percentage on the road this season. He's also been great at home. He's just given this team overall the confidence that they've lacked for the last couple of years, waiting for Jake Allen to make that big save. Binnington gives him that save that Jake Allen couldn't give him, even when Allen was playing well. So I'm assuming that this guy is not going to turn into a pumpkin all of a sudden. I'm assuming that we're going to get a few more good weeks out of Jordan Binnington in this truly magical season for a rookie goaltender, and that the Blues are able to play with the confidence and play with the same kind of efficient system that they've had under Craig Berube, with the knowledge that the back end, like you said, for the first time in a long time, is taken care of.
ESPN's Greg Wyshynski with us talking hockey on the eve of the Stanley Cup playoffs getting underway. Greg, it's been 26 seasons since a Canadian-based team hoisted Lord Stanley's Cup. Between Winnipeg, Calgary, and Toronto, which one of those three do you think has the best chance of doing so this year?
First off, as an American, one of my favorite stats. It's the best. of those three, I mean, you have to take them bit by bit, right? I mean, Winnipeg, I think, has a real tough first-round matchup against the Blues. They might not make it out of there. Toronto, I have advancing over Boston, but that's not a very sexy pick. I think a lot of people think that the Bruins are going to eliminate the Maple Leafs again. So they have a very tough matchup. And, of course, if they somehow make it through the Bruins, they have to play one of the best teams in the history of the National Hockey League in the Tampa Bay Lightning. So you look over at Calgary and you say to yourself, all right, process of elimination. They're going to get past Colorado in the first round. It's possible that Vegas or San Jose coming out of that series is going to be all beat up because it's going to be a brutal series. And then in theory, the Flames, despite my misgivings about their goaltending, could beat anybody who comes out of the Central Division this year. So of the three, you have to say that Calgary is the most likely one to have a shot at winning, with, again, the caveat that in order to do so, they will probably have to defeat probably the best regular season team the National Hockey League has ever seen in the Tampa Bay Lightning.
But they can be a fun team to root for because they've got a lot of American players on it.
Oh, yeah, and of course all the American teams that have won the Cup since 93 have a bunch of Canadians on it too, but ultimately, I mean, you know, I'm trying to get my friend who only knows hockey when there are things happening in hockey that he cares about to watch the Cup final, and I'm like, hey, buddy, it's Calgary and Tampa Bay, and now he's going to the beach. You know, he doesn't want to watch it. So give him Nashville and Tampa Bay. He's maybe watching it. St. Louis, maybe he knows the Blues. Obviously, Vegas and San Jose, he's down with that. It's just a little tougher sell if it's Calgary or Winnipeg coming out of the Western Conference. And as a guy who creates content for a leading American sports journalism website, you know, Calgary doesn't do me any favors either.
What about Vegas? The Golden Knights taking on the San Jose Sharks in round number one. How much of a storyline is the health of Erik Karlsson?
Huge. I was talking to somebody at the rink today. I'm actually in San Jose for that series. They don't think he's 100%, but Erik Karlsson at less than 100% is still better than a lot of defensemen in this league. There is concern about Thomas Hertl, the dynamic forward for the Sharks, and whether or not he's 100% as well. The biggest issue for them is their goaltending. Statistically, the Sharks had the worst goaltending in the National Hockey League this season, with I think it's an .889 save percentage. It's brutal in the regular season. But Martin Jones, their goalie, has pretty good playoff stats traditionally. So it's going to be maybe come down to Jones finding his game again against Marc-Andre Fleury, who you know has been pretty good in the playoffs over the last several seasons. It's going to be a physical series, a brutal series. It's in the short history of the Vegas Golden Knights, I think this is their one true rivalry with the Sharks. So it's going to be a real marathon. I have the Vegas Golden Knights winning in seven, but in all honesty, it's the series that I hope most of that I'm wrong on, because I think the Sharks are a really fun team and an interesting team. And obviously the storyline of Joe Thornton going for his first Stanley Cup in one of his last seasons in the NHL is one that I think a lot of people can get behind.
I saw all of those videos in Carolina when the Hurricanes and their fans realized they were going to break that decade-long playoff drought. And the reward, they get to face the defending champs. Is this going to be a short-lived storyline?
On paper, it should be. The Capitals have dominated them this season. They were 4-0. They had a goal differential of +9. And the Capitals, if nothing else, have shown to be pretty proficient in winning in the first round of these playoffs, even in years in which they didn't advance past the second round. But, Carolina's got a little magic on their side. There's certainly something about this team and the enthusiasm of this team and getting swept up with the us-against-the-world mentality that they have this year that is sort of the thing you look for in an underdog. But, you know, at the end of the day, the Caps are just really talented, a better team on paper. And the thing that concerns me most about Carolina is that although they dominate teams when it comes to puck possession and shot attempts, they just don't have enough finishers on that team to really compete with a team that has Alex Ovechkin and Evgeny Kuznetsov and Nick Backstrom on the other side.
Greg, you mentioned the historic season from the Tampa Bay Lightning, and I know it's Masters Week, and this was a bet that was really exciting in 2005. The Lightning or the field?
I would take the Lightning, to be honest with you. I mean, until proven otherwise, there's one caveat to the Lightning's run this year, beyond injuries, which, of course, are always the great equalizer in the playoffs. And that's they've yet to show me that if they get pushed to a game seven in a championship round series, that they can win it. They rolled through the first two rounds, winning each series in five games the last two times that they were in the postseason. And then both times they lost game six to the Penguins and then the Capitals, and then they lost game seven to the Penguins and then the Capitals. So there's still that one mountain they got to climb and show me that they've got the stuff that it takes to close out a team in the postseason. But otherwise, I mean, the best offensive team that we've had since the Penguins in 96, the best penalty kill, the best power play, and tied with the Detroit Red Wings of the mid-90s for the most wins in the regular season by any team ever. This is the real deal, and arguably the best team that we're ever going to see placed under the salary cap in this league.
Greg Wyshynski, always a pleasure to have you on with us here in Eastern Iowa. Thanks for the time.
You got it. Thanks for having me.
And Greg covers the NHL now at ESPN. You can read his work at ESPN.com. And it should be a very fascinating. I've sort of have made the decision to adopt Calgary. Since I don't have a dog in this particular hunt this year, and judging by the way the Blackhawks have played, I don't think I'm going to have a dog in this hunt for a while.
Any particular reason or just...
They've got a lot of American talent on that team.
Including Johnny Hockey.
Johnny Hockey. Johnny Hockey. Not to be confused with Johnny Football, who no longer wants to go by Johnny Manziel. He wants to be John Manziel.
Johnny Gaudreau, known as Johnny Hockey.
That and, look, 26 years is a lengthy drought for teams from the North to have not won. I mean, this is their sport. This is Canada's sport, and it has to absolutely eat at them that the American teams have dominated the last quarter century. So why not? I'm just going to pick a bandwagon and jump on. You didn't think it was going to be St. Louis or Nashville,
did you?
No. He did,
the
by
New
the
York
way.
Islanders, you, I know that that was your team, what, like 3 or 4 years ago?
I may or may not have hopped on Tyler's bandwagon. They are in the, everybody's in. That's the way hockey handles this. Pretty much everybody gets in, not everybody, but it's a large, large field to begin. The Stanley Cup playoffs feel like they're going to take forever.
They do.
And they essentially do. It's no NBA, but there you go. I am officially a bandwagon Calgary Flames fan. Their AAA team was in the Quad Cities for a couple years. I went to one game, and it was not very well attended. It was not well supported because the fans over there were conditioned to having minor league hockey where you can go out and build your own rosters and get the veteran guys and have control over winning and losing. And when you're an affiliate, you don't have control over winning and losing. And while I thought the hockey was fantastic...
Was it the AHL?
Yeah. The
Quad Cities had an AHL team.
Yes, for two seasons, three... I think they may have lasted three seasons before they moved to Abbotsford. Now you're going to test me on this one. No, they did. They had AAA hockey for a couple seasons. They played at the Mark of the Quad Cities, and they were not supported by the community there, and so they lost their franchise. A story as old as time.
They are currently the Stockton Heat, but after they left the Quad Cities, they became the...
Abbotsford, right?
Yes, Abbotsford for 5 years, and then
they weren't supported there.
Adirondack Flames, and then now they are the Stockton Heat. All They've right. moved three times since... they were in the Quad Cities.
Yeah. So they were there for, just two seasons, 2007 to 2009. Didn't make the playoffs in either one of those years, and just a little bit better than 500 team both years. So, I like hockey as much as the next guy, maybe even a little bit more so than the next guy, and it's tough not watching your team be involved when virtually everybody else is getting ready to kick off the Stanley Cup playoffs tonight. But going from having the 12th best odds in the draft lottery to landing the third overall pick, it'll be interesting to see what they choose to do with that and what type of player they use that pick on. The Avalanche, by the way, going from having the best odds in the draft to that number four, they couldn't fall any lower than four. And the LA Kings round out the top five of the NHL draft lottery. As Alex mentioned, the Blues taken on Winnipeg. That game starts at 7 o'clock tonight. The Blue Jackets and Lightning will kick things off at 6 o'clock. Penguins and Islanders at 6:30. Two other games tonight. Dallas takes on Nashville at 8:30, and Vegas and San Jose skate at 9:30. Vegas isn't sneaking up on anybody
this season,
as they did last year. 319-366-1600, the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. Opinions ranging from why the hell are you talking about the Stanley Cup playoffs to thanks for the hockey talk. Always good to know there are a wide array of opinions coming in on the text line. You can pick up the phone and give us a call or use the Hertin and Stocker text line. The same number applies, 319-366-1600. When we return, we shift our attention to Major League Baseball and two very popular teams that have gotten off to very bad starts, both the Red Sox and the Cubs, just three wins apiece at the start of the season. So which team's fan base should be more concerned? 366-1600 we'll discuss when we return after this.
Hi there. I'm here for your basement.
Yes, thank you so much for coming on short notice.
Yeah, what seems to be the problem?
It's my basement. It's bad.
Sure, let's take a look.
No, you don't understand. It's gotten a little out of hand. A pipe leaked in the ceiling and it never quit.
Well, let's assess the damage.
Okay. Hi there.
Who's this?
I told you it was bad.
You two look like you could use ponchos.
The other day it was just a leak, and then this happened.
You know where the shutoff valve is?
Ah, feel that breeze.
I think it's over by that dinghy.
A plumber, are ya? Say, I could use a guy like you. Have any experience on boats?
As a matter of fact, I do. My father was a lobster fisherman up in Nova Scotia for many years.
You don't say.
Yeah, I really only took this plumbing gig to earn a little extra scratch, but really...
Not again.
Home in need of repair? Don't drown in debt. Get a loan. Go to Paco. DePaco Community Credit Union. With low rates and local service, getting money has never been easier. Apply now at DePaco.com.
DePaco Community Credit Union. Equal opportunity lender.
Are you remodeling your home? Do your window sashes show signs of rot, or do you feel drafts through closed windows? Replace those old windows with the all-new Alexander Lumber Window Line. All the windows in this line come standard with premium features, including a flex screen, lifetime warranties, and much more, in an array of colors and finishes. Learn more about this new, affordable, high-quality, stylish line of windows at Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street in Iowa City, and at Alexander Lumber, just 2 miles down the road at 2802 Independence Drive.
The Leaderboard is a brand new sports bar in North Liberty with a passion for golf. Tee up in one of their five PGA Indoors golf simulators featuring over 40 different courses. Watch sports year-round on the Leaderboard's 24K TVs. Play mini golf, skee ball, darts, pool, pinball, and classic arcade games, and enjoy happy hour from 3 to 7 too. Set up your tee time by calling 319-289-0152. The Leaderboard, 680 Mead Drive, corner of West Penn and 965 in North Liberty, where your next shot is your best shot.
Spring is finally here, so it's time to refresh your internet service at a great price by switching to IMON. For a limited time, get IMON 80 megabit internet for just $54 a month and lock in this special rate for the next 2 years. We'll throw in a free Wi-Fi router for 3 months, and if you're already in a contract with another provider, we'll even help with your buyout. So switch to IMON's fast, reliable internet service today. It's like the difference between winter and spring. Go to imon.net/radio before April 28th to get this great deal. New residential customers only. Other conditions apply.
Great lineups. The 27 Yankees, the 75 Reds, the 82 Brewers. On KGYM, it's You, Nash, and Dukes on the Gym Class and the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. On Smart FM, Just John steps up to the plate in the mornings. Greg's at bat from 10 until 3. And Rick hits musical home runs on your afternoon drive home. Smart Sports on KGYM and Smart Rock on Smart FM. 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
How have we made it this far? And we're essentially at the halfway point of today's show, and we have not discussed Marcell Ozuna.
Yeah, once. That's a great question.
I know you saw, but
this is like the scene from Happy Gilmore where he almost throws his putter and then he stops and he restrains himself. Like this is the restraining Todd Brommelkamp. He didn't jump into that one.
Well, I don't know how to approach this other than to say that it brought me great joy to watch. Well,
and that's fine because it brought me great joy as well.
But
that was
then also
hilarious.
Also a tremendous amount of trepidation because I have him on one of my fantasy baseball teams and my first thought was, please don't let him break an ankle climbing the wall or hurt the shoulder when he fell down. But Marcell Ozuna goes up the wall last night to try to presumably rob a home run. Who was it? Yelich? Who was the?
I don't know.
Who's the batter?
I have no idea. They were playing the Dodgers.
They're playing the Dodgers. I'm thinking of Trout robbing Christian Yelich the other night. He goes up the wall presumably to rob a home run, and the ball falls 20 feet in front of the fence. And in the meanwhile, he leaps off the wall to try to catch the ball and face plants.
Yes. It was outstanding.
Maybe
I haven't laughed that hard in a long time.
That's what the press conference was going to be about in St.
Louis earlier
today.
Extension for Marcell Ozuna? They felt so bad for him.
Giving him an opportunity to explain what he was doing. Instead, it winds up being a two-year extension for Matt Carpenter. An option for a third. We discussed that one already and probably will revisit here in just a few minutes. But right now, time for another Big Board update brought to you by our friends at Alexander Lumber in Iowa City. Here's Kyle.
The WNBA draft will take place tonight in New York City beginning at 6 o'clock and will reveal the fates of Iowa's Megan Gustafson and Iowa State's Bridget Carleton. Gustafson's likely to go in the late first round, while Carleton could go anywhere from the late first to the third round. The Hawkeyes and Cyclones have had players selected in the same drafts before, but the schools have never had first round picks in the same draft. The Spring Hawk Talk that was announced along with the cancellation of the spring game was scheduled today for April 24th. The show will feature the return of the beloved Gary Dolphin chatting up with Kirk Ferentz from the View Rooftop in Iowa City. The event is open to all fans, and you may submit questions for Coach Ferentz via social media or email. The Iowa baseball team has won 7 of its last 9 and will try to stay hot playing at Bradley tonight. Iowa won a previous meeting 4-2 in Iowa City with Trenton Wallace earning the victory on the mound, and he's back out there again tonight for first pitch set for 7 o'clock. Sad news this afternoon as Iowa made public the passing of City High graduate and Iowa football letterman from the early 80s, Dave Chambers. The Colonels dropped game 2 of a 4-game series against Kane County last night 4-1 and need to get to work tonight if they want to salvage a series split. Blaine Enloe's on the mound and first pitch is set for 6:35. The Twins scored 6 runs off Jacob DeGrom last night on the way to a 14-8 victory. And they'll try to do the same off Noah Syndergaard tonight. And we're going to join that game in progress after the show on 107.5 FM The North, Jim.
You did that to yourself. You do realize that because you said earlier today, you don't stumble. So you.
I said I don't stumble often. And when I do, it sounds really stupid.
In the back of your head, you set yourself up. Anytime somebody says they don't do something and then it just sets themselves up to do exactly what they said they don't do.
Not really what worst. I said.
You set yourself up subliminally for that.
It was, by the way, it was Kike Hernandez who hit the ball that
he
landed
Kike
halfway
Hernandez
to
is,
the fence.
When Kike Hernandez is tearing the cover off the ball, you know things are going well for your team. Everybody
true,
on the Dodgers
lost two in a row.
They have lost two in a row. I still think they look really good.
Is it time to panic? 319-366-1600.
Yes, if we have John Bonenkamp of the Burlington Hawkeye listening right now, he would be up for some Dodgers discussion always. It is interesting. We do transition to baseball. The Red Sox and the Cubs, the subject of our poll question today at KGYMradio.com, which fan base should be more concerned about the start to the season? Boston and Chicago have won just 3 games each at the onset of the year. I think the answer here is fairly obvious, and it's Boston because you've got You've got the rivalry with the Yankees, but you also have Tampa Bay right now, which is leading the division. And you know Toronto's going to get better in just a few weeks because Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is going to be up from the minor leagues, and they've got some other young players that they can bring up. Nothing is going well for either one of these two teams right now, the Cubs and the Red Sox, neither one of whom were hoping to be in the basement 10, 12 games into the season. But I'd be more concerned about the Red Sox right now than I would be the Cubs. That's not to say that Chicago is going to turn the corner. And with the news today that John Lester goes on the injured list for a minimum of 10 days and likely misses at least one turn through the rotation, that's going to be a little bit more difficult for the Cubs. But if you're a Red Sox fan, how can you not be concerned right now over the way that this team has started?
You're concerned, but at the same time, is Chris Sale going to continue to pitch the way that he is? Is Nathan Eovaldi going to continue to perform the way that he has? David Price, I guess it's sort of a toss-up. I look at them, and yeah, I think that there's a concern based on what they have around them in the division with the Yankees, who are quite honestly, right now, they're reeling a little bit because of all the injuries they're experiencing. And you brought up the Rays. I think they're for real. They're not going to win 100 games. They may win 90 like they did last year, but I still think that the Red Sox can turn some things around, and that's why I give them a little bit of the edge in this conversation, because the Cubs right now, it all comes down to pitching. Can their pitchers perform? And I think that Lester is one of the guys where you trust him, but are the Cubs going to get anything out of Yu Darvish? I asked Jesse Rogers, how long of a leash does he have? Well, he said 5 more years. That's how long he has on his contract. He's got to give them something.
I love Jesse. He's very blunt.
He is. He's got to give them something.
Messing around. He got a 5-year deal. He's not going anywhere. They're not going to just eat the money. Yeah, he's going to give them a lot. He's going to give them a lot of walks. He's going to give them a lot of strikeouts, and he's going to give them a lot of headaches. Hopefully, more strikeouts than walks and headaches. But Darvish, the scheduled starter today, and he has never pitched in weather, I believe, below 40 degrees? The game time temperature is not looking pleasant at Wrigley Field tonight. So bottom line is, in cold weather, I think he's 0-3 with an ERA north of 5. I wouldn't expect tonight of all nights to be the evening that Yu Darvish rights the ship and figures things out. Whose start is more concerning, the Cubs or the Red Sox? 319-366-1600. It's interesting. I love how you say, you know, Tampa Bay's not going to win 100 games. They might win 90. This is fascinating what Tampa Bay is doing. We saw the introduction of the opener last year and sort of this patchwork pitching staff. They've got Blake Snell, obviously, who's the reigning Cy Young Award winner and a tremendous young talent. But outside of that, I would challenge you to name three other members of the Rays right now.
Sergio Romo?
If I gave you a minute to name three other members of the Rays.
Tommy Pham,
okay. Yep. Do they have two other former Cardinals that you can quickly rattle off? Other than that, you're going to have to stop and think about it.
Yeah, that's all I got.
If you play fantasy baseball, even if you play fantasy baseball, you're probably struggling to come up. I like Diego Castillo, who is, he's an opener, he's a closer,
Good luck. Who are these guys? I'm just looking at their lineup.
Thank you. Well, they're the American League East leading Tampa Bay Rays. That's who they are. Baseball never fails to give you surprise teams, and it never fails to give you teams like the Red Sox and the Cubs, which seem set up to succeed, and then they get off to slow starts. And while we're talking about baseball, there was the story earlier today, which I know has gained a lot of traction, especially online, but Major League Baseball has made history, Alex. Do you know what history was made this season, 2019, in Major League Baseball?
Does it have to do with strikeouts?
No, although I'm sure that history will be made at the end of the season. For the first time ever, according to Forbes, not Steve Forbes, the Lone Tree native. We don't want another Fran McCaffrey controversy here. According to Forbes, for the first time ever, every Major League Baseball franchise, 1 through 30, is worth at least $1 billion with a B, dollars.
Can we get the Dr. Evil sounder?
No, we can't. Long story.
Sorry, too soon, guys.
Every franchise in baseball is worth at least $1 billion. Now, that doesn't mean that they necessarily have $1 billion in cash on hand, like there's some vault underneath Wrigley Field or Busch Stadium where there's a Scrooge McDuck diving board. But don't let a team's general manager or an owner tell you that they don't have the money to spend on free agents, or they don't have the money to make their team better. Tom Ricketts is out there crying poverty right now as the owner. Sorry if Todd and Laura are listening. As the owner of the Cubs, he's out there saying, we don't have any more money. Every franchise, every Major League Baseball franchise is worth at least $1 billion. And then you look at the list Forbes has, the franchises that are most profitable. The most profitable teams by operating income. Number three on the list, the Chicago Cubs at $87 million. They made $87 million in profits. The number one team on that list, the Dodgers at $95 million, followed by the Phillies. And then you've got the Cubs. The Giants and the Red Sox each made $84 million. And, well, look at this. Number six on the list, the Chicago White Sox, turning a profit of $76 million. But remember, they couldn't quite go the years and the dollars that Manny Machado was wanting. If you're a baseball fan, how do you not get upset about this? 319-366-1600. Every franchise is worth at least $1 billion, and the owners are out there crying poverty, and everybody's just sort of going along for the ride.
There's still that sense of, oh, well, the players, they make enough money. I'm not worried about it, right? I mean, that's sort of why the general public tends to back the franchise over the players. Because, okay, $300 million, is there really that much of a difference between 100 or 200 and 300? How much money do you need? Well, at the same time, you bring up the fact that these owners are, the money's going directly in their pockets.
The White Sox made $76 million last year, and Manny Machado's wearing a Padres uniform. How do you sleep at night if you're Jerry Reinsdorf? And the answer to that is very comfortably, because he's probably in one of the most expensive beds money can buy.
So there's some breaking news in college basketball.
Is it related to Nevada?
It sure is.
So did he get the job?
He got the job.
Yes.
Remember the question that we asked when a certain former UCLA coach was fired? What Mountain West school was he going to end up at next year? The answer: he will be taking over for Eric Musselman at the University of Nevada. Steve Alford,
being Steve Alford, the former Iowa coach, who I thought maybe Cincinnati would be a landing spot for him after Mick Cronin took his job at UCLA, but Steve Alford returning to the Mountain West should be interesting games at the Pit when he makes his return to New Mexico. But Musselman leaves presumably a lot of talent to work with. So
yes, if they decide to come back,
this is the ultimate in Steve Alford.
He's going to win there.
He's going to win there immediately, and then probably leverage that into an extension and a pay raise, and then things are going to fall apart, and it's not going to be his fault, and then he's going to wind up on the unemployment line. I thought he would at least give it a year. Sit back, take a year off, maybe do some TV commentating, or hang out with his pal Dan Dockich on the air. And okay, since we got derailed here with the baseball talk, and now we're talking Alford, I want to talk about you meeting Dan Dockich over the weekend? Because how has that not come up on the show yet?
That's a great question.
You are in Minneapolis, and your social media feed is just pictures of you hobnobbing with all of the media elites in the college basketball world. And you posed for a picture, or he posed for a picture with you. Dan Dockich, one of the most controversial men in college basketball broadcasting. I want to know everything about this encounter.
Well, we were in downtown Minneapolis, and we went to the college game day set. And Jay Billis, Jay Williams, Seth Greenberg, Reese Davis, they're on their regular set. And we walked to the little area where there was the stage. There was this barricaded rectangular area off to the side. And we didn't see anybody over there, so we just thought, okay, well, college game day was done. But that didn't make sense because it was still 2 hours before the game. So we walk over there. We realize that the B team, not the starters, like I just mentioned, the B team, that would be Dan Dockich, Sean Farnham, Bear, Chris Felica, who is a staple on college game day, and I believe Stanford Steve were off to the side. And I couldn't quite get a picture with John Calipari. So I went back over to the set, and everybody left because they finished their segment off, and the guys were just standing over there. I went up and I introduced myself as somebody from the state of Iowa.
No. You dropped it, didn't you?
What do you
mean?
Did
you drop the four letters?
No,
did
I did
you say,
not.
I work at an ESPN affiliate.
I did not drop the four letters.
Oh, you should have.
Because he was in a very good mood. I actually took. Kind of caught me off guard because you hear about the guy and you hear him talk on the air and everything just sort of tends to be a negative tone. I think he's really good at what he does. It just he has his style and it doesn't seem like he gets away from it. Well, off the air he was a little bit different and he was a nice guy. Posted the picture and let's just say it got a strange response on social media.
People weren't fans or they were fans?
It was mixed, I will say. Some people were calling him names. Some people were saying, you know what, I like Dan Dockich.
But he was at least pleasant to deal with.
He was pleasant to deal with. And I should have said, hey, we should get you on the show sometime. I dropped the ball there.
He has been on the show before, and he was sort of a jerk about it. I know this is going to be hard for people to understand, but he did not like the way that I reached out to him in the course of the Adam Woodbury controversy several years ago. And then he was critical of me contacting him on Twitter, but then I've noticed a number of instances where he wants somebody on his show, and how does he reach out to them? He does it on Twitter.
He adds them.
It's interesting that you mentioned that because every time that I've had an in-person conversation or run-in with him, he has been nothing but cordial.
Right.
He is, again, talking about Dan Dockich here, seemingly not the same guy that he is when he's behind a microphone, which I've never been a big believer in that. I've always said, you know, there are a lot of people in this business that they play a part when they're behind him. I think Stephen A. Smith plays a part when he's behind a microphone or when he's behind a camera. And he plays it really well to the tune of, what, $8 to $10 million is the reported salary that he's going to be making from ESPN. I don't see any point in that. I'd rather be myself, and for better or worse, I think that's the way that you should approach this business. Dockich sees it another way, and it's been very successful for him, and he makes way more money and is way more successful than I am, so maybe I should just shut my mouth when it comes to giving Dan Dockich unsolicited career advice.
I hate to say it, but I sort of had this realization, and I'm never going to adopt his style, but in hour number one, you brought up my sizzling hot take yesterday about the fact that movies are always better than the books.
With the exception of Friday Night Lights and maybe, Alex says maybe, To Kill a Mockingbird.
The reaction that I got from that on the text line and on my personal Twitter account was way more than any reaction to any well-thought-out take that I have ever had in my radio
career. It's dangerous, isn't it?
Ever, yes.
It's extremely dangerous because then the next thing you know, you think, my God, I got a reaction from doing this. I need to do this more often.
Right.
And then the next thing you know, you're on ESPN on First Take making $8 to $10 million a year, and nobody wants that, do they? Nobody wants to make $8 to $10 million a year for being handed a card and, here, say this. Here's your... Say this take in the most outrageous manner possible.
Here's the debate we're having. This is the side you're going to take.
Did you, speaking of Stephen A., it's out there. It's on Twitter. His reaction to the Magic Johnson news last night was priceless. And it was exactly the way that you would imagine it. And what did I do today? I'm right there at noon. I want to turn on the Stephen A. Smith show because I want to hear him. This is his wheelhouse. This is Magic Johnson quitting on the eve of the final day of NBA play and doing so in an impromptu news conference, and he hadn't even told LeBron or Jeannie Buss, and Stephen A. Smith wasn't hosting his own show today. And I thought, what a missed opportunity. Speaking of missing things, we're almost in danger of missing a break. We need to take a quick timeout. We will come back and get you some more of the program today. The WNBA draft about to begin in 15 minutes in the Big Apple. Where will Megan Gustafson and Bridget Carleton be calling home? We'll discuss when we return after this.
If we build it, they will come.
You don't always notice the things that need to be remodeled or repaired at your business, but your customers do. Keep everything welcoming and looking sharp with Jackson Remodeling and Repair. Whatever your business needs, design, remodeling, repair, they'll take care of it. The owners at Jackson Remodeling and Repair personally visit each job site to make sure things are staying on schedule and meeting your expectations.
Go the distance.
Call them for a quote. Jackson Remodeling and Repair, 319-214-6943.
No matter what kind of day you're having, make it better at Mulligan's. Stop in with your friends for a happy hour every Monday through Friday from 3 to 6. Take a break with their lunch specials. And when Iowa gifts us with great weather, take advantage of it on their big outdoor patio. Don't miss live music at Mulligan's, too. Keep an eye on their Facebook page to see who's performing next. Mulligan's Pub, 1060 Old Marion Road Northeast in Cedar Rapids. At Mulligan's, you always get a shot at a better day.
Prescription products require an online physician consultation and are only available if the physician determines a prescription is appropriate. See website for full details.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive little blue pill is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. Right now, get your first month supply for free. All you pay is just $5 for your medical consultation when you go to forhims.com/active. After that, it's just $30 for a month's supply. Sure beats paying big bucks for just one blue pill, doesn't it? Plus, you won't need an awkward in-person doctor's appointment to get the prescription. Hims has doctors online who can prescribe the medication, and a pharmacy sends it right to your door. It's affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To get your first order for just $5, you need to go to this exclusive address, forhims.com/active. That's forhims.com/active for your first month for just $5. forhims.com/active.
Guys, the secret is out. If you want healthy sex, your body needs nitric oxide. And now you can boost your nitric oxide production faster than you thought possible with Ageless Male Tonight, the absurdly fast formula from the number one brand in male enhancement. Just take one capsule an hour before romantic activity. You'll get clinically tested ingredients that rapidly boost nitric oxide production, and it won't go unnoticed. Rush to Walmart and get Ageless Male Tonight.
Having trouble starting your trimmer, chainsaw, or leaf blower? Say goodbye to those starting problems and improve your equipment's performance with TruFuel, the original ready-to-use fuel, available in 32 or 110-ounce cans. TruFuel is the ethanol-free, precision-engineered fuel that empowers your equipment to start strong and run great every time. Power through yard work with TruFuel, available at your local home and garden center today.
Thursday, April 25th on ESPN Radio, ESPN, and on ABC.
Speaking of drafts, as we mentioned, the WNBA draft about to get underway on ESPN2, the first round coverage, and then I believe it shifts to ESPNU for rounds 2 and 3. Iowa's Megan Gustafson in the Big Apple as part of the 12-woman contingent invited to attend the draft. There are 12 teams in the WNBA, so you would think that maybe the 12 that get invites are going to be the 12 that are selected. The latest mock draft that ESPNW had available as of a couple days ago, I had thought I had seen a Jackie Young out of Notre Dame predicted to go first overall, but ESPNW has Asia Durr of Louisville going to Las Vegas with the number one overall selection. And not much has changed on this from a couple months ago when we first started talking about Megan Gustafson playing professionally in the WNBA. She is slotted as the number 12 overall pick, so the final pick in the first round to Seattle. And what's interesting about this is, and we have discussed this in the past, the mock draft also still has Bridget Carleton of Iowa State going to Seattle with the final pick in the second round, the 24th overall pick. So there's still a good possibility that these two college rivals could wind up playing together on the same team in the WNBA. So best of luck going out to Megan, who has had a tremendous time the last week or so collecting all of these national awards and representing Iowa State so well in the eyes of ESPN.com. At least they got her first name right. At least they got her first name right now. Now it's her alma mater. Now it's the school that she attends that they're just a little wishy-washy on. But one of these days, attention to detail is going to pay off for the folks at ESPN as they gear up for the...
Well, they just gave Stephen A. Smith $10 million, Todd, so yeah, they probably know about that.
Yeah, now they probably had to turn over a lot of their webmaster duties to younger people who aren't going to make as much money, so they can afford to pay Stephen A. Smith. 319-366-1600, the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. Iowa and Iowa State have never had first-round WNBA picks in the same year before. Most likely won't occur again this year, with Megan Gustafson predicted to go in the first round and Bridget Carleton in the second round, but who knows how unpredictable things can be when it comes to draft time. Speaking of mock drafts, we continue to keep an eye on, some of us do, various mock drafts that have TJ Hockenson and Noah Fant and Hakeem Butler floating in and out of the first top 20 picks or so. As you heard the ESPN promo coming back out of that last break, we will have coverage of the draft for you later on this month, and it is a fascinating time to be one of those players who, it's kind of like knowing that you're going to have the winning lottery numbers called before the balls even come out of the little picker. I mean, if you're Noah Fant or TJ Hockenson, and Mark Morehouse did a great job at the Gazette writing about the fact that those two guys are basically battling over $4 million. There could be a $4 million right. difference between where the first guy is taken and where the other player is selected. But it's still life-changing money for both of these guys. But it'll be interesting to see just exactly how high both of those players go, and can Hakeem Butler continue to gain steam coming off his combine performance. As we mentioned last week or a couple weeks ago, he's been showing up in mock drafts as high as, I think, the 20th overall pick to the Baltimore Ravens.
The fact that there's never been a school with two tight ends selected in the first round, I think it's very apparent that that's going to end this year. And it's crazy that it's coming from the school that doesn't recruit those five-star type athletes. And it has never happened in the history of college football. It's going to happen this year, and I think it could happen in the top 15 because the Packers are sitting there at 12 needing a tight end, and I think TJ Hockenson is going to be off the board by then. And teams are just going to fall in love late with the athleticism of Noah Fant. He's not a finished product yet, but that's almost more enticing to some scouts. So I think that angle, the history angle, is pretty darn impressive when you put it in those terms.
Eloy Jimenez has his first career extra base hit with the Chicago White Sox. He has just doubled. That's the good news. The bad news is things were not looking very good for the White Sox. They lose 9-1 to the Tampa Bay Rays earlier today at Guaranteed Rate Field. We need to step aside and take a quick timeout. When we return, we'll set the table for what's to come in the third and final hour of the program tonight. Hint, you could win something. Back with more after this.
Hiring used to be hard. Multiple job sites, stacks of resumes. But today, hiring can be easy, and you only have to go to one place to get it done. ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards.
ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day.
And right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Spain. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Spain. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Guys, the secret is out. If you want healthy sex, your body needs nitric oxide. And now you can boost your nitric oxide production faster than you thought possible with Ageless Male Tonight, the absurdly fast formula from the number one brand in male enhancement. Just take one capsule an hour before romantic activity. You'll get clinically tested ingredients that rapidly boost nitric oxide production, and it won't go unnoticed. Rush to Walmart and get Ageless Male Tonight.
Welcome back to Sports View. Next topic. Is it really all about power? Makes me think of Progressive's Name Your Price tool. Gives you the power to find options based on your budget. Let's go to Chuck for an irrelevant analogy.
Man, back in the day, people didn't ask how many oranges are in the crate. They just took the oranges. They didn't say, are there 6, 7, 12, 15, whatever. It was just oranges. You get me?
We get you, Chuck. In a word, oranges.
Give it to us straight with the Progressive Name Your Price tool. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Tyler Glasnow striking out 11 over 6 innings of work today in that Tampa Bay win over the White Sox. Looks like he's got some mechanical issues figured out, at least in the early going. Strikeouts, they're not going down in baseball. They're going up. It's going to be really interesting to see how teams continue to react to this trend. And Chris Davis still scuffling as a member of the Baltimore Orioles. Somebody asked the other night on Twitter, would you take $23 million to be booed as mercilessly as Chris Davis? I don't think I would. I don't think
long?
I could. Well, look, there's
like
this idea
now
out here that athletes who struggle enjoy taking the money and not being very good. They don't. I can tell
no,
you
don't.
Firsthand, they do not. Those guys are competitive, and they don't want to be a laughing stock. But I just, the mental anguish that he has to be going through. He hit a ball the other night. The exit velocity was like 105 miles an hour, and it was right at somebody in left field. And what do you do when the hits just aren't falling? The guy's a career 237 hitter. It's not great, but a 237 hitter going, 0 for 50 or whatever the streak is. Speaking of streaking, and I know we've only got 30 seconds here, Whit Merrifield of the Royals, 30 consecutive games he has hit safely in, passing George Brett's franchise record with the Royals. He's still 27 shy of breaking the all-time Major League Baseball record held by Joe DiMaggio. We've got tickets to see Tom Segura coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. You can win them with us on the 6 o'clock showdown. Back with more after this.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
Around 87 players will tee off in the first round of the Masters tomorrow at Augusta National. Live first round coverage starts at 3 Eastern on ESPN and the ESPN app. ESPN's Ramona Shelburne reports LeBron James was stunned when Magic Johnson resigned as team president. Johnson didn't tell James about his decision before making the announcement. ESPN's Doris Burke says Johnson might not have been well suited for the job.
This is an organization that Magic has been woven into the fabric of, and his stature in the game is legendary. And this is just, it's not a good look the way this came down at all.
The NBA regular season ends tonight. There's one playoff spot available. The Pistons are in with a win against the Knicks. Blake Griffin is out for Detroit with a sore left knee. A Pistons loss opens the door for the Hornets if they beat the Magic. That Charlotte-Orlando game tips off an ESPN doubleheader at 8 Eastern. ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski reports Celtics guard Marcus Smart could miss the first two rounds of the playoffs with a torn oblique on his left side. Baseball finals today. The Rays go to 10-3, beating the White Sox 9-1. Tommy Pham hits two home runs. Tigers beat the Indians 4-1. Padres beat the Giants 3-1, a home run for Manny Machado. Braves and Rockies postponed in Denver with the city under a blizzard warning. The Cardinals signed third baseman Matt Carpenter to a two-year extension. The Cubs put lefty John Lester on the injured list. The Dodgers do the same with catcher Russell Martin.
The Chicago White Sox and the New York Yankees at Yankee Stadium in the Bronx. Coverage begins Saturday at 12:30 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app.
Having trouble starting your trimmer, chainsaw, or leaf blower? Say goodbye to those starting problems and improve your equipment's performance with TruFuel, the original ready-to-use fuel, available in 32 or 110-ounce cans. TruFuel is the ethanol-free, precision-engineered fuel that empowers your equipment to start strong and run great every time. Power through yard work with TruFuel, available at your local home and garden center today.
Thursday, April 25th on ESPN Radio, ESPN, and on ABC.
6:02, it is the third and final hour of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on 1600 AM as well as on the FMs, 106.3 in Iowa City, our South Gym, 107.5 the North Gym in Cedar Rapids. The final 50 minutes of the program tonight will be spent eyeing the WNBA draft in New York City, where Iowa standout Megan Gustafson is waiting to have her name called. The draft is just getting underway. The Las Vegas Aces are on the clock. We'll have another big board update brought to you by our friends at Alexander Lumber coming up in about 25 minutes. Also on the way, an opportunity for you to win tickets to see actor, comedian, and writer Tom Segura, his Take It Down comedy tour coming to the Paramount Theater here in Cedar Rapids, July 26th. He's very well known, I understand it, from some Netflix specials and some various television appearances. Those tickets go on sale Friday at 10 a.m., so you can win them with us before you can buy them. We will get to the 6 o'clock showdown coming up in about another 15 or 20 minutes. Lots more to get to on the program today, including, well, what we're going to touch on right now, which is something we didn't get to yesterday. We had Scott Dochterman of The Athletic on with us discussing Hawkeye football and the media availability yesterday with running backs coach Derek Foster and offensive line coach Tim Polasek, both speaking to the media as part of Iowa's spring football media blitz, since there's no actual spring game to get to. And we're going to get to some of the highlights of that. The Hawkeyes traditionally have a solid offensive line for Tim Polasek to work with, but he's going to have some new faces in some new places this season. We'll hear him discussing those players in just a little bit. And Derek Foster trying to figure out just exactly what that backfield is going to look like behind the offensive line this season. As we mentioned, Kyle went to Iowa City yesterday and got this audio, and then things got tight in the 6 o'clock hour, and we didn't get a chance to get around to using any of it. So we do want to bring you some of the highlights here. And I think a lot of the guys, the beat writers, have done a good job of writing this story in the last 24 hours, but it certainly sounds as if the former Solon standout, Tyler Linderbaum, you saw him when he was in high school, right?
Yes, I did, for two seasons.
Sounds like he's going to be, as a redshirt freshman, the starting center for the Hawkeyes, and it's been a while since they've had somebody step in that young at that position, but We saw the position change made after his first year on campus, and usually that gets people buzzing, and it's sort of a sign of things to come. And it's certainly Tim Pawlicek had some very nice things to say about him yesterday.
He certainly did, and we'll get to those in a second. But it's really no surprise. You watch him in high school, and you saw he was going to be a player, whether it was going to be at the center position or the defensive tackle position. It's strange that I couldn't figure that out, and for the first year, Iowa didn't know what they wanted because he was so good at both. He played on the defensive side of the football, but as you mentioned, Tim Pawlicek yesterday brought up the fact that they are going to be implementing a new center and had plenty of nice things to say about Tyler Linderbaum.
This is the third year in a row you're going to have a new starting center. What are the challenges of that, and kind of where are you at in that process?
Yeah, you know, really thankful that we were able to get Cole a bunch of reps the last 2 years. It was funny, just fell into looking at some tape from three springs ago, and Cole was out there quite a bit. You know, so we've been able to give, you know, Linderbaum the vast majority, and just let's find out if he can't do it kind of attitude. Tyler Linderbaum is a really good kid, and what I mean by that is, like, he's not going to leave that group hanging. He knows that his communication is vital to the whole success of the offensive unit. He's worked extremely hard at getting in here and extra time. He's really detailed and asked for things like extra quizzes from the season just to be able to draw and to be able to put his communications down. And so it's a challenge every year. You know, one of the things I think is so neat about football and the opportunity we get with spring ball and then fall camp is just raw teaching. And I don't know that if we had five guys in there that were all coming back, that were returning three-year starters, that I would feel any different. You know, we'd be teaching at a different level in different things, and you just keep trying to get the group to move forward. But I don't know if there's time to worry about it. I don't think anybody in the outside world's going to care if we've got a new first-year starting center in there or not. They're just going to care about the production. And so we're just focused on the development of the whole group and trying to plug and play and see who comes out and who can be starting and who can back up.
Just how quickly is Linderbaum acclimated to this position? Obviously, we saw him out there with the first team.
Yeah, he's got a Tyler Linderbaum is kind of what you're looking for from a recruiting standpoint. He's what you're looking for from a competitor standpoint. He's what you're looking for from a toughness standpoint. I think he's a tempo changer. Okay, now he's got a long way to go, but we've been impressed. None of this has been a surprise. I think he's on the right track. You know, we'll know a heck of a lot more once we can get through another scrimmage, a couple more blitz periods where, you know, it's not just guys lined up in the A-gap. You know, it's an A-gap guy looping to the B-gap, and then here comes a backside guy, and does he understand his secondary response? But you really like his work habits. You really like the competitiveness. And the thing I like is you can challenge him. He's even got a little bit of that, you know what, coach, I hear you, but let me go out there and compete kind of attitude, you know. So he's been good to work with. I real quick here, we're growing a relationship, and you really appreciate the guy and how he works.
That's Tim Pawlicek yesterday talking about Tyler Linderbaum, who began his career as a Hawkeye on the defensive side of the football, and there was a much publicized position switch, I believe, that was announced at the Outback Bowl as part of bowl preparation, and that got people buzzing, and there was some discussion about the defense's losses, the offense's gain, and boy, it seems that he has taken to this about as quickly as you can, and there's an opening there. It was filled admirably last year as a stopgap by Keegan Render, and it's looking like Iowa has found some long-term stability there with Tyler Linderbaum.
That is such an important position for the Hawkeyes to have long-term stability at. They've had that the last three centers. They've had that guy where you knew that James Ferentz was going to be snapping the football and making the calls. You knew that Austin Blythe was going to be doing it, and James Daniels. And that's one of the most important positions in that program. So last year, like you said, Keegan Render was a fine bridge, but that's not what that program is looking for. So when I heard that he was moving to the offensive side of the football, and when most people heard that, you kind of had that idea that they were going to give him every single opportunity to start and to be that guy moving forward. And he was another one of those guys that if you followed the high school football in this area, you knew that he was going to be a successful player because he had all of the intangibles that it was going to take to succeed at the next level.
Now, we know what Iowa's got in Tristan Wirfs and Alaric Jackson, and certainly it sounds as if things are interesting with Linderbaum at center. But a name that I don't think people are probably all that familiar with at this point, but Mark Kallenberger, who apparently is working at guard and is going to wind up working his way into the mix as well. I know Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com posted a video clip of Tim Polasek on Twitter yesterday talking about Kallenberger taking advantage of his opportunities. And what are your thoughts on him as how he fits into Iowa's offensive line?
It's tough to figure that out right now. And I know that the way that Tim Polasek was talking about Tyler Linderbaum, I think it sunk in how good he is based on the way that he brought up Mark Kallenberger and asked how he fit into their plans moving forward. So this was what he had to say about Mark Kallenberger.
Where do you see Mark Kallenberger fitting into this puzzle? Was that where you're going, Chad?
Yes, yeah, you know what? I think that's it's getting to be a better question for Mark. You know what I mean? We're creating a plenty of opportunity. Left guard, he's getting a lot. Tuesdays and Thursdays, Mark is getting some reps at guard because Landon's got class. So, you know, we're juggling some things. And then Saturday or Friday, Mark's getting a lot of reps at tackle. But he's had, you know, a ton of opportunity at tackle. And so, you know, I'm not sure yet. You know, that's one of those deals. Me and Mark have had a lot of conversations. It's going to be a case in with all kids, you know, do you take advantage of your opportunities that you're given? Are you ready when your opportunity strikes? And I think Mark's, you know, some days he's pushing it through. Other days we take a couple steps back. And so I'm hopeful for Mark. You know, I'm wishing the best for him. But, you know, he kind of has to make that happen. You know, it's like a guy that gets an opportunity, you know, the Wally Pipp type story. And you know, go in there and do it and see where it all plays out. But right now Mark is getting reps at left guard and left tackle. And we'll kind of see how it goes.
You think some of those conversations were of the stern variety?
Probably, given everything that I know about Tim Polasek, probably. But this is an intriguing kid, Mark Kallenberger, out of Bettendorf. I think he was one of the first guys to come on board in that last recruiting class, kind of really unheralded. Stop me if you've heard this before. An unheralded offensive lineman joining Iowa's recruiting class and working his way into the mix here. You tell me, is this shaping up to be, I know, again, you don't often hear this about Iowa football, the offensive line being a strength for the Hawkeyes, but this is shaping up to be just same old, right? New faces, new places, same production.
I think it could be even more productive, not just when you look at it and say, okay, well, they have a lot of NFL draft picks on it. I think that this offensive line could be an identity for this offense. And we'll hear Derek Foster and Tim Polasek talk about the running game and how that needs to improve. It wasn't very good last year. They were not productive in that area of their offense last year, and it has to improve. And I think that having a guy like Linderbaum in the middle and just two mountains on the outside in Tristan Wirfs and Alaric Jackson, which I know we'll get to here in just a second, those guys, another year of development, this could be a huge year for them. And if they can get it going to the point where they just take a little bit of the pressure off of Nate Stanley, it could go a long way for this offense.
Kallenberger was a three-star recruit, according to Rivals, coming out of the Quad Cities. He had seven additional offers on top of Iowa. Colorado State, Eastern Michigan, Iowa State, Kansas State, Missouri, Nebraska, and Western Michigan were his offers. And I would say at this point, it looks like he chose wisely. 319-366-1600, the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. You can use it to reach out to us. The WNBA draft is underway in New York City. Two picks off the board. No surprise, Jackie Young and Asia Durr going 1 and 2. There was some question as to what order those two would go in, but the Notre Dame guard has her name called first, followed by the Louisville standout. Megan Gustafson, still waiting to hear her name called in the event that it is while we were on the air, although at the pace they are going and the predicted 12th overall pick for her, I don't know whether we will get there or not, but we'll certainly let you know if she is drafted while we're on the air. Tim Polasek was certainly more interesting than Derek Foster yesterday as far as just what he had to say and, of course, how important the offensive line is for Iowa. But you mentioned we've discussed and heard discussed some of the new names to the offensive line, but Alaric Jackson made the decision to come back, and Tristan Wirfs is a guy who's going to probably have a decision, a similar decision to make coming up at the end of next season. But so much has been made about Tristan Wirfs and the video of him lifting weights during workouts, and Alaric Jackson was probably good enough to go to the NFL this year but chose to come back. These two guys are going to be the bedrock of that offensive line.
They are, and it's going to be interesting because both of those guys are so talented, but both of them, they have a long way to go. And when Tim Polasek says that, it is absolutely, it's not a cliche. Those guys are still very raw, and especially Tristan Wirfs. So when he's asked about Wirfs and the video of him repping 450 pounds on the hang clean, and we know what he did in the shot, but we know how unbelievably strong he is. The question is he able to translate that onto the football field? And I believe as he was asked, is he still Clark Kent, or is he becoming Superman? And this is what Tim Polasek had to say about Tristan Wirfs.
I guess we'll start with the offensive tackles. Last year, you said something about you wanted Tristan to kind of tear away that shirt and become the Superman. Is he still Clark Kent, or is he close to Superman?
No, you know, Tristan's improved with just the short amount of time we've had here, you know, 7 days. In fact, today was the first day we kind of just said, why don't you guys flip, get some extra work. And I think he's doing a better job conceptually handling things. And we all know, you know, when a guy has an understanding of, you know, how to do something, why he's doing it, what's he doing, then you can kind of get to the point where you can play fast. And it's been good. I think he's playing faster. We're getting close to where, you know, he's reaching or getting closer to his full potential. You know, I'd like to be, you know, part of his progression and see that happen faster, you know, rather than later. But I think he is on the right trend right now and trending towards where he's got a complete understanding of what we're doing. He's playing a little bit faster.
He said finishing his blocks is part of it, where he'd make initial contact and the guy would just slip off of him, and he needs to continue to do that. How has he been able to do that, especially in the running game, or to get better at it?
Yeah, I think a lot of times, you know, it's really simple things that are hard to execute. You know, I think we do a phenomenal job here at Iowa with our system and how we block people and with what we're doing. You know, but those things that might appear to be simple, you know, they're over, and things that we hash out over and over and over again. It's kind of like, you know, the power is where your eyes are at. And I think that's one thing that's improved, you know, getting on his aim points and understanding where his help is and where it's not, you know, has allowed him to kind of put more pressure on the guy he's blocking it. And we got a ways to go yet. But I do feel like he's being challenged from Chauncey and from AJ Epinesa, and I'm seeing some growth. You know, he's trying to strain. He's working extremely hard. He's always been a good worker. But detailing your work and finishing plays is a whole lot different than just trying hard.
Pretty fascinating stuff yesterday from Tim Polasek. And I think you said there's one more that you want to get to.
Yeah, he talks about on the flip side. I know he's a little bit further along than Wirfs, but Alaric Jackson is another one of those talented offensive linemen that has aspirations of moving on to the next level, but is still pretty early on in their development.
If you look at Alaric Jackson, I mean, he's been probably the one guy that's got the most experience probably up front. How has his development grown over the last couple of years, where you just threw him in because Boone Myers and Ike Bucker were hurt, and now where is he at in his development?
Well, and AJ's a little bit different compared to all the way a lot of tackles come in here. You know, he's a little bit heavier than you would like. You know, so his development, that, you know, Coach Doyle's had a big hand in that. You know, and I think he continues to work at it, you know, keeping the weight to where it's manageable or on target. You know, and we have an unbelievable system here in with how we check their weights and so forth. But Ulrich's really improved with his core strength, and I think he still needs to get better. AJ's a lot more powerful and strong, and his numbers say so in the weight room than you would think. He kind of, you know, gets a little bit overshadowed in the weight room because of Tristan at times. But AJ's, you know, trying to be the best he can be, and I think he's moved forward, you know, from a physical standpoint, bigger, stronger, faster. I think he's really capitalized on that. And then on top of that, I think he's really detailing his work. He's getting his pads on people. He's not a guy that reaches for blocks. You know, he's really trying to fit his pad in, get his backside knee and foot. That's, well, complicated stuff. But I think he's really being intentional about what he's doing now, okay, compared to where he was 2 years ago. And that was a tough situation where he got thrown in, you know, in the Iowa State game. He had to play right side. He only practiced left. I mean, we were, holy smokes. I don't know if we had more combinations in any other particular two or three games than that game. I think we had probably six or seven different combos go in that game in a short time.
Tim Polasek yesterday in Iowa City, a spring media availability, the Hawkeye assistants, a meeting with the media in lieu of a spring football game this year. This is what we've got to work on, and what we'll do is bring you some of the highlights of running backs coach Derek Foster coming up on tomorrow's program, as we're a little bit tight for time here. We do need to step aside and take a quick break. The WNBA draft, as we mentioned, is underway. We anticipate Megan Gustafson having her name called at some point during the first round, most likely on the back half of the first round. The Chicago Sky on the clock right now with the number 4 overall pick. We will give you an update as to what's going on around the sports world. Kyle's going to have a big board update for you. And we will get to the 6 o'clock showdown. Those tickets to see Tom Segura coming up in just a few minutes. 7 questions, 60 seconds, the showdown, and a big board update are next.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
In life, we come to expect certain things. Light bulbs light and tigers roar. But what if we came to expect something more? At Honda, that's just what we do. And it's led us to the Honda Accord LX. With more torque and passenger volume than a Toyota Camry. Hurry in to your local Honda dealer and test drive the Honda Accord today to see what expecting more gets you.
Hurry into your local Central Midwest Honda dealer or go to CentralMidwestHondaDealers.com for more details.
Comparison made to comparably equipped models. See dealer for financing details.
There's one.
I see it.
Another.
See it. Didn't see that one.
Potholes are just waiting to damage your ride. If you hit one, it can mess up your alignment, shocks, struts, and suspension. So if your vehicle has a disagreement with a pothole, have Linder Tire take a look at it. They can make sure it's all right or fix any problems that annoying pothole caused. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. See them at LinderTire.com.
Is there any more satisfying feeling than letting an elevator door close on somebody? I did it at the hotel earlier. I got such a warm rush through my body. It felt like the inside of my body hugged the outside of my body, you know? And then you see it close and you're like... Sometimes a second later it opens and you're like...
From his Netflix specials, it's Tom Segura, The Take It Down Tour. Saturday, July 27th, Paramount Theater, Cedar Rapids. Tickets on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. at ParamountTheaterCR.com.
The Leaderboard is a brand new sports bar in North Liberty with a passion for golf. Tee up in one of their 5 PGA Indoors golf simulators featuring over 40 different courses. Watch sports year-round on the Leaderboard's 24K TVs. Play mini-golf, skee-ball, darts, pool, pinball, and classic arcade games and enjoy happy hour from 3 to 7 too. Set up your tee time by calling 319-289-0152. The Leaderboard, 680 Mead Drive, corner of West Penn and 965 in North Liberty, where your next shot is your best shot.
Spring is a time for new beginnings and new ways to get smart rock and roll. Smart FM's got you covered with your favorite tunes spanning decades. Lacing up your running shoes? Tune to Smart FM. Getting ready to grill on the deck? Season your steak with Smart FM. Shining up those golf clubs in the garage? Keep your radio locked on Smart FM. Eastern Iowa's home for smart rock. 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
Final game of this series, final game of this road trip. Twins and the Mets one more time from Citi Field. Hi, this is Corey Provis, Jake Odorizzi for the Twins, and Noah Syndergaard throws for New York on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight, starting at 7 o'clock on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
And that was something last night. Jacob DeGrom had 26 consecutive quality starts snapped by the Minnesota Twins last night. So he matches the all-time record set by Bob Gibson of the St. Louis Cardinals, although they did not count quality starts back in Bob Gibson's day. The Twins scoring on Jacob DeGrom September of 2017, the last time that he did not have a what's referred to as a quality start. Six innings plus three earned runs or fewer. He's the ace of that staff, and they got to him. Now, can they do it with Thor? Tonight, we will join that game, pick up the coverage, 107.5 in progress in about 30 minutes. Coming up in just a few seconds, you're going to have an opportunity to play for the 6 o'clock showdown, those tickets to see actor, comedian, and writer Tom Segura at the Paramount Theater. That is Saturday, July 26th. The tickets for the Take It Down tour go on sale at 10 a.m. Friday, so that you can win them right now before you can even buy them. Seven questions in 60 seconds. If you want to be patient, you can call us right now at 319-366-1600, but the man who normally answers the phones is in the studio. He's going to give us a big board update brought to you by Alexander Lumber. They've got a brand new facility opening up this spring, so you can find them in their temporary location at 2802 Independence Drive in Iowa City. Here's Kyle.
The WNBA draft is underway right now in New York City, and so we're just about maybe an hour or so away from finding out the fates of Iowa's Megan Gustafson and Iowa State's Bridget Carlton. Gustafson's likely to go in the late first round, while Carlton could go anywhere from the late first to the third. The Hawkeyes and Cyclones have both had players selected in the same draft as recently as 2015, but the schools have never had first-round picks in the same draft. The Spring Hawk Talk that was announced along with the cancellation of the spring game was scheduled today for April 24th. The show will feature the return of the beloved Gary Dolphin chat it up with Kirk Ferentz from the View Rooftop in Iowa City. The event is open to all fans, and you may submit questions to Coach Ferentz via social media or email. The Iowa baseball team has won 7 of its last 9 and will try to stay hot playing at Bradley tonight. Iowa won a previous meeting 4-2 in Iowa City with Trenton Wallace earning the victory on the mound, and Wallace is back out there tonight with first pitch set for 7 o'clock. Sad news this afternoon as Iowa made public the passing of City High graduate and Iowa football letterman from the early 80s, Dave Chambers. The Colonels dropped game 2 of a 4-game series against Kane County last night 4-1 and need to get to work tonight if they want to salvage the series split. Blaine Enloe's on the mound tonight with first pitch set for 6:35. The Twins scored 6 runs off of Jacob DeGrom last night on the way to a 14-8 victory, and they'll try to do the same off Noah Syndergaard tonight, and we're going to join that game in progress after the show on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
Yeah, the weather for that third game of the series with Kane County, not quite as good as it's been the last two nights of the series. They will conclude tomorrow, and then Burlington comes to town for 3 games, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. They've got some good-looking prospects on that Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim stocked B's roster. Right now it's time for the 6 o'clock showdown, though. Tickets to see Tom Segura at the Paramount Theater Saturday, July 26th on the line between Ryan in Cedar Rapids and Darren in Coralville. 7 questions in 60 seconds, and I see Alex has Ryan and I've got Darren, so Darren, hang tight. Alex and Ryan are going to decide whether they would like to go first or last.
Ryan, what do you think? First or last?
Last, please.
All right.
Okay, so Ryan, remain silent. Hang tight. Darren, 7 questions, 60 seconds. If you don't know the answer, just say pass, and if we've got enough time, we'll circle back around, okay?
All right, sounds good.
All right, Darren, who was this year's NCAA tournament most outstanding player?
Zion Williamson.
Which Cardinals outfielder scaled the left field wall attempting to rob a home run last night only to realize the ball landed on the warning track?
Pass.
Which one of Duke's highly touted freshmen was the first to declare for the NBA draft?
Zion Williamson.
Which future Hall of Famer announced his retirement from the NBA following a 30-point game last night?
Dwayne Wade.
Which NHL team won the number one overall pick in the NHL draft lottery last night? Was it the Devils, the Blackhawks, or the Rangers?
The Devils.
That's correct. What Masters event took place in Augusta today?
The par three.
That's correct. And who opened as the betting favorite to win this year's Masters?
Roy McIlroy.
That's correct. So three, and there's going to be some controversy here, but I think I know what you're going here with the 30 points and when he announced his retirement. But we'll get to that if it matters. Three is the number to beat, Ryan.
All right, Ryan, okay. Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
All right, if you don't know the answer, just say pass. Here we go. The Chicago Blackhawks hold a top 10 pick in next year's NHL draft. Which pick is it?
Two.
ESPN announced an expanded TV deal with this Power 5 conference today.
The ACC.
Freshman Tyler Linderbaum is the likely favorite to start at this position for the Hawkeye football team this fall.
Center.
Magic Johnson abruptly resigned as the president of this NBA franchise last night.
Lakers.
Who won last year's Masters? Was it Dustin Johnson, Ricky Fowler, or Patrick Reed?
Ricky Fowler.
Adrian Claiborne agreed to a one-year deal with this former employer yesterday.
Falcons.
Flooding has forced this Midwest League team to call Cedar Rapids home for the next week.
So can you repeat the question? I'm sorry.
Which Midwest League team is playing in Cedar Rapids because of flooding?
Pass.
Well, we've got ourselves an old-fashioned tie, and that's okay. So here's what happens during the tiebreaker. We will ask you a question, and you can chime in by saying your name out loud. That's how we can differentiate one caller from the other. Here's the deal. If you say your name and you get the question wrong, the other person wins by default. So with that understanding, Ryan, Darren, say your name when you want to take a crack at answering this question. And here is tonight's tie-breaking question. As we mentioned, the WNBA draft is underway. Las Vegas had the first selection in the draft. They took guard Jackie Young. What school did Jackie Young play for?
Darren.
Ryan, Notre Dame.
Darren, I heard it first.
Notre Dame.
Notre Dame is the correct answer.
Dang it.
Ryan, sorry.
I shouldn't have said the answer.
We will never know. We will never know whether or not there was controversy there, but Darren did say his name first. Ryan said all the answer first, but Darren is going to take home the tickets to see Tom Segura at the Paramount Theater. Hang tight, though. You never know. You got a chance to win them with us tomorrow at the KGYM Road Trip, driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. We'll be back at Mulligan's at 1060 Old Marion Road. Again, tickets to see Tom Segura go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. You can get them on the website right now, though. I saw this earlier today on the KGYM Facebook page. We have information on how you can get in on the pre-sale for that concert. I always say concert. It's when a comedian comes to town. They say in concert, and you see them, and they're up there on the stage doing their stand-up, but you can see them however you want to describe it. You can see Tom Segura when he comes to Cedar Rapids, the Take It Down Tour, which is underway right now, the Cedar Rapids tour stop, Saturday, July 26th. And again, tickets don't go on sale to the general public until Friday at 10 a.m., but the pre-sale information is available for you on our Facebook page, KGYM Radio. Give us a like if you are out and about on Facebook. The WNBA draft is creeping along. We are on the air for another, let's call it, 15, 20 minutes or so here, including commercial breaks. I don't think we're going to be on the air when Megan Gustafson has her name called tonight.
We can talk about it tomorrow.
We will see. Let's go over the NCAA tournament. Most outstanding player this year was Kyle Guy of Virginia. It was Marcelo Ozuna who attempted to rob a home run last night only to see it fall in front of him. RJ Barrett was the first Duke player to announce that he was declaring for the draft. And both Dwayne Wade and Dirk Nowitzki scored 30 points last night. But we knew Dwayne Wade was retiring. Dirk Nowitzki, is the player who announced after the game that he was retiring. So there could have been some controversy there.
I was worried because I was wondering if there was some semantics wrong there.
Could have been some controversy there, but it said following a 30-point game last night, announced his retirement from the NBA following a 30-point game last night. So the wording there was accurate. It could have been confusing, though, because you did have two future Hall of Famers both scoring 30 points, but we knew this was the end for Dwayne Wade. There was some speculation, hey, Dirk hasn't announced anything yet. Why is everybody high-fiving him as he's going into the arena and everything? But ultimately, I think when the commissioner sort of makes fun of you at the All-Star Game weekend festivities, it's kind of obvious that you've reached the end of the line, but you never know.
Oh, I don't know. When there's a farewell tour for a player who hasn't announced their retirement yet, you would think that possibly
somebody would know,
okay, well, this player isn't just walking into the arena getting a bunch of high fives and commemorative plaques for
nothing. I think it would have been funny, though, if he would have. And then, okay, let's do it all again next year because I'm coming back. If you watched him play it, I mean, it bordered on the sad at sometimes watching him play this year. But
yeah,
doesn't mean that he has to be done. But he did announce last night after the Mavericks game that this was it for him.
All right, the Chicago Blackhawks hold a top 10 pick in next year's NHL draft, and it is the third overall pick. ESPN announced an expanded television series with the Big 12 today. Patrick Reed was last year's Masters winner, and the Quad Cities River Bandits are the team that's going to call Veterans Memorial Stadium home next week because of flooding in Davenport.
The 15th, 16th, and 17th, the Colonels were supposed to play in Davenport. That series, as we mentioned yesterday, has now been shifted to Veterans Memorial Stadium. General admission tickets on sale for those three games through the Colonels box office, just $5, so cheaper than a Colonels home game. You can go out and see the Colonels and the River Bandits next week as part of that series shifting to Cedar Rapids due to the floodwaters around Modern Woodman Park. The WNBA draft is going about as quickly as the first round of the NFL draft does. They are taking their sweet time. Kelani Brown of Baylor just off the board with the 7th overall pick to the LA Sparks. Baylor and Kelani Brown matched up against Megan Gustafson in the Elite Eight. There was a lot of talk about her lack of mobility. I don't think it sat well with Kim Mulkey or Kelani Brown, but Brown has her name called ahead of Gustafson. No surprise there. Again, Megan Gustafson mocked at number 12 to Seattle pretty much all season long by the folks at ESPNW. So we will see whether or not that comes to fruition or not, but it does not look like Megan will have her name called while we're on the air with you tonight. We need to take our final break. When we return, we will set the table for what's to come on a Thursday edition of the program, which also happens to be a road trip. We'll tell you all about it next.
If we build it, they will come.
You don't always notice the things that need to be remodeled or repaired at your business, but your customers do. Keep everything welcoming and looking sharp with Jackson Remodeling and Repair. Whatever your business needs, design, remodeling, repair, they'll take care of it. The owners at Jackson Remodeling and Repair personally visit each job site to make sure things are staying on schedule and meeting your expectations.
Go the distance.
Call them for a quote. Jackson Remodeling and Repair, 319-214-6943.
20 professionals speaking 9 different languages, serving over 7,000 clients worldwide. That's Community CPA, a global firm located in Coralville and Des Moines. As trusted advisors in tax and accounting, they make even the most foreign and complicated tax matters simple. Trust them with your personal and corporate extension tax filings. They provide tax returns that are audit-proofed with their value-added data match service. Call Community CPA in Coralville now, 319-208-3712, to improve the quality of your tax preparation. Community CPA.
And now, a quick comparison from Grasshopper. When a client calls, what do you want them to hear? Your personal voicemail?
Hey, you've reached Greg's cell phone. I'm away right now, obviously. Leave a message and maybe I'll get back to you.
Or something a little more buttoned up, courtesy of Grasshopper.
Thanks for calling Green Landscaping. To make an appointment, dial 1. For billing, dial 2. To speak with Greg Smith, dial 3.
There's no contest. Put your best voice forward with Grasshopper. the virtual phone system for small business. Try it free at grasshopper.com.
Guys, the secret is out. If you want healthy sex, your body needs nitric oxide. And now you can boost your nitric oxide production faster than you thought possible with Ageless Male Tonight, the absurdly fast formula from the number one brand in male enhancement. Just take one capsule an hour before romantic activity. You'll get clinically tested ingredients that rapidly boost nitric oxide production, and it won't go unnoticed. Rush to Walmart and get Ageless Male Tonight.
Progressive presents Get Pumped. Inspiration to help you do insurance stuff.
Okay, time out. You're gonna let your budget be the boss of you? Take control with Progressive's Name Your Price tool. Tell us what you want to pay for car insurance, and we'll help you find options that fit your budget. Here's some music to get you pumped. Da-dong-da-dong-da-dong-da-dong-dang-dang. I hear your budget laughing at you. Oh, wait, that's just those kids laughing at me. Ignore them!
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Winter is coming to the Seven Kingdoms. That's a legitimate fear, but you shouldn't fear freedom. No annual contract and no bulky hardware is something to celebrate. You don't have to fear cutting the cord and switching to DirecTV Now, especially since DirecTV Now Plus and Max packages include HBO at no extra charge. So you get all the best movies and original shows like Veep, and you can catch every episode of the final season of Game of Thrones premiering April 14th. Don't fear freedom. Get DirecTV Now. Compatible device required. Charges, exclusions, and restrictions apply.
The future of your team.
So you ready for the draft? Let's get started.
The NFL Draft. Round one is Thursday, April 25th on ESPN Radio, ESPN, and on ABC.
The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you for a few more minutes on a Wednesday night. Thanks for tagging along with us on 1600 AM, or if you prefer to listen on the FM side of things, 106.3 in Iowa City, 107.5 in Cedar Rapids. Speaking of the North, Jim, 107.5 FM will join up in progress with the Minnesota Twins taking on the New York Mets coming up in just a few minutes. The Twins getting to and scoring runs on Jacob deGrom last night. They are in the top of the third inning right now at Citi Field. Noah Syndergaard on the mound for the Mets. That game is scoreless. Washington has a 3-0 lead on Philadelphia. That is Bryce Harper's first game against the Nationals at home in Philadelphia. We've seen him go back to Washington. Oakland is leading Baltimore 2-0, and Cincinnati trails Miami 1-0 after two innings. Cubs and Pirates coming up tonight, 7:05 first pitch at Wrigley Field as that series continues, game two of that series. The Brewers are continuing their interleague series with the Angels in Los Angeles at 9:07 tonight. And the Cardinals and Dodgers getting ready for first pitch at Busch Stadium in St. Louis. Earlier today, it was announced that the Cardinals had agreed to a 2-year contract extension, possibly a 3-year extension with Matt Carpenter if he hits an 1,100 plate appearance incentive that triggers the third-year option. So interesting times across baseball. It's not just the young guys who are getting extensions. Now we see Matt Carpenter, the veteran, but really let's talk about Marcelo Zuna. What was he trying to do? The wind blowing?
No idea. But that was one of the most hilarious moments I've ever seen watching a baseball game. At first, I wondered what happened because you see it live and you think to yourself, okay, did something on the fence collapse? Did he get launched off of the fence? Did he fall at some point? But no, he just completely misjudged the ball, ran all the way back to the wall, scaled it like Spider-Man, and then realized that the ball landed about 20 feet in front of him, basically on the edge of the warning track. And then he fell on his face.
Are you
trying to dive for it?
Are you concerned at all about the shoulder with
him? Absolutely. He can't throw the ball back into the infield.
And the shoulders, as Cub fans know all too well from watching Chris Bryant last year, you have a shoulder injury and you swing a baseball bat, it doesn't really allow for that shoulder to fully heal. And that was the concern with Ozuna coming into the season. Was he fully healed and able to play a position? It's not the American League. You can't just park him at DH and let him swing away. I took a flyer on him in one of my fantasy baseball drafts, and he's got one or two home runs so far this year, but I don't know if I'm the Cardinals, if I'm feeling too comfortable about him in the outfield, because as you said, the arm strength, which was a question mark to begin with him, it's just not there right now.
No, you watch him, and he keeps saying that his shoulder's at 55% and it's going to get better, but it looks at this point like he needs surgery on it. I'm no doctor, but he has trouble throwing the ball back into the infield. There were points last year where he needed somebody else to throw the ball back into the infield. And I know he has more arm strength than that. And then at the plate, you worry, as has been talked about with Chris Bryant, do you develop bad habits when you have a sore shoulder and you're trying to hit? And that's that back, it's that back shoulder in your swing. And are you trying to overcompensate with one arm? And does it change your stance? And that is all legitimate worry right now with Marcell Ozuna. And I was a guy, when he started out last year, I thought, okay, this is a guy who hits the ball very hard. He's got pop. He plays a decent, at times a decent left field. Re-sign him. Or give him an extension, I should say. Give him an extension right away. And now, I don't think there's really even any possibility. They're not even thinking about giving him an extension. It's sort of weird how this whole thing has turned.
The Masters gets underway tomorrow in Augusta, Georgia. The gym class transformed into Caddy Smack earlier today. You possibly heard, if you were listening, Zach Johnson's father, Dr. Dave Johnson. That podcast is available at KGYMradio.com. Zach tees off, I believe, at a noon Central Time tomorrow or thereabouts. The par three earlier today, always fun to watch the golfers attempt to skip those balls over the water at 16. And the event won by first-time participant Matt Wallace, who beat out Sandy Lyle on the third hole of a playoff after both finished at 5-under during the event. So the Masters begins tomorrow, the real event in Augusta. And as we covered during the 6 o'clock showdown, Rory McIlroy goes off the board as your betting favorite, followed by Eldrick Tiger Woods. Is this the year that Tiger wins another Masters, wins another major? Many people are saying
yes,
that this is his best chance.
I'm on a hot take streak. So Tiger Woods is going to win the Masters.
Are you the guy who put up the $85,000 on him at 14-1?
No, I didn't tap into my savings account just yet, but it's not even that much in there. There's definitely not that much in there anyway, but you know what? I'll put down 85 cents on it.
There were times when I was in college, I didn't have $8.50 in my bank account, let alone $85,000. But that was enough, as we detailed yesterday on the program, to move the odds all the way down from 14-1 to 10-1 on Tiger. It'll be interesting to see with this field what happens. Of course, it is a long tournament, and you can get off to a good start and then come back down to reality. And 2007, it's hard to believe that it's been 12 years, but Zach Johnson looking to replicate the magic of that year. And we've got the flag on the wall here in the KGYM studios to prove it. 366-1600, though. Let's go to James in Cedar Rapids. He wants to talk about the Masters. James, what's up? What's on your mind?
Oh, I just want to say, you know, with there not being a lot going on in sports, yeah, we got the baseball, but no football or basketball, and I'm excited for the Masters this weekend. And I just turned you guys on as I was driving here and listening, and I am excited for it. But I was watching some of it while I was getting my food down at the restaurant today, and they showed Ricky Fowler and his new look hairdo, new old look. He's growing it back out, and so I'm picking Ricky Fowler with the longer hair to come out on top.
Ricky Fowler,
that's showing your work right there.
Ricky Fowler, James, with a longer hair. Look, I think he's going to have a mental block after last year and what happened. And I don't know. I don't think he's ever going to come close again at Augusta. But
same girlfriend?
What?
Does he still have the same girlfriend?
You're going to have to ask.
It changes yearly.
Those guys can tell you what brand of underwear they wear. Zach does tee off at 12:05 tomorrow with Ian Poulter and Matt Kuchar. Tiger is teeing off at 10:04. For those of you who need to get your Tiger fix, and that's me. That's most. I don't know what golf is going to do when Tiger Woods is officially off the scene for good, when he's out there knocking balls around on the senior tour. When that happens, people will watch the senior tour. Most likely. 7:30 a.m. Central Time, the first group tees off. Andrew Landry, Adam Long, and Corey Connors. And what do you think the nerves would be like for one of those three guys being the first three off the tee box
tomorrow? Debilitating nerves. I couldn't imagine.
I'm seeing some great names here, though. Ian Woosnam at 7:41. Fred Couples tees off at 8:25. These gentlemen have no chance to win, but they are blasts from the past. Kevin Tway. I've got to get in on one of these golf fantasy leagues one of these years. Give me John Rahm.
He's the one with the sideburns.
I believe so. That's my pick. He's playing with Tiger. Give me John Rahm, not to be confused with John Hamm, whom Alex didn't recognize one year coming out of Busch Stadium.
Nice guy.
Big Cardinals fan.
Big
John Hamm.
Big Blues fan.
We'll have to find out who John Rahm roots for, but he's teeing off with Tiger and Ho Tong Lee at 10:04. And I know what's going to be on the TV tomorrow in the office. I'm not even going to change the channel tonight. When I leave, I'm going to come in. It's going to be wall-to-wall Masters tomorrow and Friday. Tomorrow, we're going to be watching the Masters at Mulligan's Pub, the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and lindertire.com. What better way to ring in spring than joining us for first-round coverage of the Masters at Mulligan's, 1060 Old Marion Road. Happy hour. From 3 until 6, we'll do the show, and from 6 until close, Mulligan's offers half-price wings tomorrow. That's Mulligan's Pub, 1060 Old Marion Road in Cedar Rapids, the northeast side of town, your home for the KGYM road trip, driven by Linder Tire and lindertire.com. Should do the entire show tomorrow in the hushed, reserved tones of a golf announcer. Todd Rommelkamp and Alex Kuhn with you from the KGYM road trip. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. It's a tradition unlike any other. It's going to do it for today's show. If you missed anything, the podcast is available at kgymradio.com. We'll pick things up tomorrow on 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM.